good morning, and welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Yeah, good times. 866-901-ADAM, 866-901-ADAM. Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Danny Bonaducci.
Good morning, Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, Big O'Brien.
Hello.
Teresa, you're on a new microphone this morning?
Yeah, I guess my old one is broken. Somebody cut the cord.
Yeah. Well, listen.
Yeah, I can't imagine it.
I gotta be honest.
I was nowhere near the studio, peeps.
They wanted to do the brake lines of your car. Said, start with the mic cord. Let's see if it works. If she gets it, but if she picks another mic and insists on talking into it, then eventually we'll go to the brake lines.
I'm hard-headed.
And then just eventually the jugular and right. Enough of this.
Wow, I got no sleep last night because my daughter was sick and like heaving and wailing and crying and just she's loud anyway. She's loud when she feels fine, but she was nauseated and throwing up and was just wailing away. And I just woke up and, wife was tending to her and I was kind of helping out too. But, then, you know, that thing where once you wake up and then your mind, the switch to your mind gets turned back on.
Absolutely.
You can get up, take a leak, shoot a snot rocket into the toilet, rinse your mouth out, and go back to bed in the middle of the night without turning the switch on to your mind.
You get out of your bed for the snot rocket?
Oh, interesting. You're right.
What's the point?
Yeah. Kleenex, comforter, whatever. It's like, it's one big down Kleenex you sleep in.
I was on a game show with Gretchen, something like the Newlywed Game, and they asked what her pet peeve was about me, and I forget what I wrote. But she wrote snot rockets while just walking around the house.
You can have a conversation from a phone call in the middle of the night and not switch your switch that switches your brain back on.
Yeah.
But if you get a phone call and somebody says, your father just died, boom, switch on.
Switch on.
You know what I mean? Whatever the information is, whatever the situation is, if it's a serious piece of information, pow, switch on. You hear some glass break in another room. Sounds like a window. Switch on. For some reason, the switch got tossed on my brain, and I was just kind of up. I could start about 2 a.m. with the crying, and I kept trying to go back to bed, and I put earplugs in, and I was like, wow, man, this chick is really wailing. She was crying, and I closed her door, and I closed my bedroom door, and after about 2 hours of, Jad, man, this kid's voice carries all the way across the house. I couldn't figure it out. I was like, it's carrying all the way across the house, and it's just as loud in this room as it was. And then I said, aha, the air vent. It's coming through. So I went and I put a pillow up against the vent, and I got back in bed again. I had earplugs in. All the doors were closed. After about 3 hours of this, I went, goddamn baby monitor's on.
The monitor was on,
but it had no feed. It wasn't doing its usual sort of buzz or feedback or anything. It was just crystal, crystal clear. Meanwhile, the Los Angeles radio station we're on does not come through at the house. Right. I cannot listen to this program.
You get a Toys R Us baby monitor. No, no static whatsoever.
It's like the kid is in the room I'm in, and I heard no static or anything. It was kind of out of view, and it seemed like the monitor was in the general direction of where the kid was, so it wasn't confusing. The sound was coming from where Natalia was, but it was about 3 hours of that, and then it was one of those. Then I had to decide who I was going to get angry at.
Right.
You know when something happens, you get locked out of your house, your car runs out of gas, something expires, you know, you go to do something and the guy says, sorry, sir, that ended 2 days ago. You have that beat where you go, who can I get mad at other than me? Hmm. Like, you know that, like, I'm mad. Yeah. Who can I be mad at? I could be mad at me, but that doesn't feel great. I should be mad at somebody else. Who can I be mad at? And then you go, Lynette. Yeah. She left that monitor on. You know what I mean?
I blame Lynette in my house.
So, right, you even use
Lynette. Someone goes back to my house, that bitch Lynette, I go crazy.
It's hard to blame somebody who's tending to a sick baby.
I know, and it's a weird, it's one of those things, too, and I think it's one of these things that makes you an adult, where you go, first impulse, and I guess when you're an evolved adult, you don't have that first impulse of who can I be mad at.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you can ever wash that one out of your hair. But first impulse, who can I be mad at?
Right.
Second impulse, aha, must be Lynette. And then third impulse is like, all right, now I have to put my judge's cap on or powdered wig on and go, let's see. Monitor was on.
Right. Those are charges against Lynette.
Heard the crying. Got up to tend.
Right.
Wouldn't have shut the monitor off on the way to go tend.
MacGyvered the air vent in the middle of the night.
I MacGyvered
the air vent. MacGyvered that.
I guess if she was the ultimate wife and mom, could have come back at some point an hour later and said, hey, why don't you shut that monitor off because it's going to be a long night. But not really. I'll have to take that one.
You know what, though? I I'm being serious here, so I don't mean to get into your relationship. Mm-hmm. I just need to get in my relationship, which is coming to a crashing halt, so you probably shouldn't listen too closely.
Mm-hmm.
I found in a one-income family where that one income surpasses $1 million, nothing's my fault.
Mm.
Ever.
That worked really well.
Mm-hmm.
For 17 and a half years, Latrice. How's that relationship going?
Hey, I'm almost at 3 months, I could talk a big game.
seriously, if something expires, that would have been Gretch for sure. I might have locked my keys out. That's me.
Here's the reality, the sad reality, I suspect. In a relationship where there's a single income, I would say, well, it depends. I was going to say if a man earns it, but if a woman earns it too, although I do believe, but maybe I'm just imposing my own thoughts on this. I would love to think that if the woman was working, the man would feel a little more obligated out of sort of societal guilt to be burning some calories around the house. Mm-hmm. Whereas women don't have quite the shame factor in staying at home and not going to work and, you know, bringing home their half of the bacon. Or as my wife explained, as I explained to my wife famously once when she used to work, she would make, $45,000-$50,000 a year, and I would make quite a bit more than that.
Right.
And I would say, listen, I bring home the bacon, and I expect this and that. And she'd say, I bring home the bacon, too. And I'd say, you bring home the bacos.
Right.
I bring home the little bits and pieces of simulated bacon. I bring home the actual Canadian stuff.
I'm sorry. Comparatively speaking, she brings home snossages.
That's right.
Yes, but did you ask her to stop working?
No, when it was time to have kids, that was fine. But here's the thing. Here's my point. I've not really conducted this experiment, but I suspect it's true based on the one side of it that I'm living, which is if you show me a couple and the man works and the woman doesn't, and the man makes under $100,000 a year, I'll show you a woman who busts her ass much more so than if the guy makes over $100,000 a year.
Couldn't agree more.
And as you get closer to $1 million, it goes down less. And by the time you get to $20 million, she's just having sex with a pool man while eating bonbons on top of a pile of your hard-earned money.
I'm fairly certain that Gretchen's first words after I do were, I quit. And never saw a day's labor
again. It seemed
like
she was running your empire over there.
She was running your empire, right?
That's hard work.
Well, we were in the psychiatrist's office one time, or counseling, or whatever it was.
Dr. Gary.
And no, real doctor. The kind that can write a prescription.
Okay.
And he said, what do you do, Gretchen? And she said, I manage Danny's career. And I helped promote this woman to be a, you know, like this saint that could do all things. And she said, and I was mad now. So I finally said, oh, no, you might have been Dr. Gary. Might have been on TV. I said, really? You manage my career? You ever actually gotten me a job? Well, no, that's your agent's job. Oh, what else do you? Well, I handle the money.
Mm-hmm.
Really? Name one stock we own. Any one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know.
Marlboro?
We have an accountant.
Should.
Yeah.
You know, and it was like, how much is our average electricity bill?
Right. No idea.
I don't know. So what she did to run our empire, and still I'm not, you know, I'm not dissing her, but to run our empire, she would just hire more people. It's like she said she did the lawn. Well, no,
well,
she didn't. She hired the gardener.
It's more like being a contractor than being the actual mason.
It's a traffic cop.
But it's busy. It is. I will give her that. It's, you know, I make a living currently, especially in a bunch of different areas. So, you know, $3,000 will come in from here, and $5,000 will come in from there, and $10,000 will come in from here, and you got to keep the, you know, appointments all straight. But it's not like a full-time gig. Danny's got to be on this flight at noon.
Yeah, I'm just saying the wife of the guy who makes under $100,000 a year is busy all day, and the other women just sort of become kept. And yes, you become sort of a liaison to all the other people that are actually doing the work, right, which is some work, but it's still not work. All right. Well, anyway, I was up since about 2 a.m. Then I just flipped the switch. And then there's that point where you just decide, oh, I see, I'm not going to get any sleep tonight.
Yeah.
I don't know why you make that conscious decision, you know, where you go, oh, it's one of those nights. Oh, I'm not going to get any sleep. Like, you could just go, well, look, I got woken up at 2 a.m. It's 2:45, and I'll just go back to bed as if this event never happened.
Right.
But you flipped your switch, and you decided this is going to be one of those nights.
Yeah.
I made that decision, and I just flopped around for the next couple hours.
How's the baby?
Molly?
No.
Oh, Natalia.
The Ferrari.
Yeah. She, man, can that chick wail.
Yeah. I like they refer to your one-year-old, though, as a chick.
22 pounds. She's like 22 pounds and just like a siren all night. Crazy. I felt bad. You know, here's the thing that I feel bad for with kids. It's the same way you feel bad with animals. When they get sick, they don't know what's going on.
You can't explain it.
Yeah, yeah, right. So, you know, now you get nauseated, and is there anything worse than just that serious nausea where she's just trying to vomit, just crying and trying to vomit and trying and sort of dry heaving. It was horrible. And you want to tell them, baby, this is something you're going to do again, and it's uncomfortable, it's going to pass, you're going to drink too much, be passed around a frat house in a few short years, you're going to have the same feeling again. You want to say they can't, no. They just think this is it, this is the rest of their life.
Right.
They're going to spend the rest of their life nauseated. As a matter of fact, you know, forget about all that tormented by the devil and all the particulars involving hell. Somebody should have just came up with nauseated. Someone should have just said, you know that feeling when you're heaving so hard that your eyelids get bloodshot, when you're throwing up stuff that's no longer in your stomach, and just about the time you're feeling better and you've been able to keep down just a little bit of tomato juice, pow, it all comes sailing out again. And when the best feeling in the world is lying on filthy cold tile floor that's in your bathroom. You know that feeling? That's what you're going to experience for the rest of your life. That's hell. I think everyone would immediately identify with that and fly right. Because there's too many question marks about hell. Like, who's going to be there? You know what I mean? Is it going to be a lot of famous prostitutes?
I've decided Pinhead from those Hellraiser movies. That's my guy.
Right.
Pinhead, obviously, I mean, I could see him as kind of the doorman.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like celebrity doorman, the greeter.
But that's what I see, though, is fish hooks through the face and that kind of crazy stuff.
But they're also that thing of like, not a fan, but Hitler's down there. I may pick his brain a little bit.
Oh,
yeah. What's going on with him?
He'd be one of the 10 guys you'd have to dinner or whatever, along with Jesus.
Arguably a more interesting crowd. In hell.
Yeah.
Certainly hot chicks. It definitely put out.
Yeah.
And then this whole torment thing. Well, what exactly are we talking about when it comes to torment? And I've been tormented. I can live with it. The nausea.
Yeah. Well, I'm out of your life by 10, though.
Yeah. The nausea. That is something. You'll be nauseated.
You ever been seasick for any length of time?
Yes.
That's possibly one of the worst feelings I have ever had. And I've gone distance sailing and been sick for 24, maybe 36 hours. Just the worst. I just pray for death.
Right.
Yeah. The only good thing about nausea is that you never feel better than when it passes.
I know.
All of a sudden you think, I always feel this good?
I'm alive. Yeah. You feel like Roger Daltrey and Tommy. when he gets his vision and hearing back. You just want to climb a mountain of, of pinball machines and stand at the top of it with some music playing in the background. Yeah, and you do go, oh, my God, I'm back to zero, and I've never felt better in my life.
And you're down 5 pounds.
It's funny, Teresa, what he said, but there's nothing that feels better than when you stop. It's so weird. You know, Adam and I become like this. We're so simpatico, man. The first thing I thought was Daltrey climbing a mountain of pinball machines. This is the first vision I got. It's amazing. Does it feel better? Mountain of pinball machines.
Well, let's see if we can spin this into what we like to call a topical phoner. We did do this. We did do the worst. What about worst night you've ever had? I'll tell you
just
about the worst
in
night ever.
Or sick.
Yeah, well, whatever. Look, if you don't, if you were trapped under a pickup truck in a drainage ditch for an evening, I'll accept it. That. Yeah.
Even if you aren't puking.
Yeah. Okay. You don't have to be sick. You could be sick.
You could be puking. Custody.
It could be booze induced. I got a good booze induced bad night for you guys planned out. Maybe your girlfriend socked you in the face and, you know, you, cracked your orbital socket and, fell asleep on the porch. I don't know. Worst night.
Wow.
I had a bad night last night, but I bet you could do a hell of a lot better than what I did.
Yeah. That's you. When I say this is the worst day of my life ever, then I remember being, you know, chained to transvestites while bleeding. And I went, this day's not that bad.
You're on your period. 866-901-ADAM. We'll take a break. You give us your worst night. We'll give you ours next.
It's the Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaducci and Teresa Strasser. Here's what's coming up this morning with program director Jack Silver.
Booyah, peeps! Today, Mr. Bertram's going to answer your home improvement question. Ozzy's going to review the number one movie in America, The Simpsons. Music Monday, best and worst workout song. And another chance for you to become our new phone screener. Look, I don't want to have to spell it out for you, but let's just say your chances are greatly increased if you give me oral sex.
Thank you, Jack. Call 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show.
Yes, it is. Already some good stuff up on the board. 866-901-ADAM. Bad nights. Just, I had a tough one last night. Natalia started throwing up about 2 a.m. And, you know, the problem with our hours is, I know I say is all the time. The problem with our hours is,
comma,
2 a.m. is not late. It's early. You know, right. I used to go to bed at 1:30 or 2, and if I got bumped up at 2:30 in the morning, it was just one of those, all right, it's the middle of the night. It's not the early morning before I get up. It blows. Like, I would much rather be bumped up and awake an hour after I went to bed than an hour before I had to get up. I don't know why. Maybe that's me. I don't know if everyone's that way. But when you get up at 4:30 in the morning, 2 a.m. is a horrible time to get up.
Yes.
Yeah. I would much rather just do it at 11 o'clock if I went to bed at 10:30 or something like that. But anyway, she was heaving. I felt bad for her. I felt bad for me. I felt bad for my wife. I felt bad for everyone but Molly.
Because Molly didn't care.
My dog Molly tries to take sleeping to a new level. You know what I mean? Like, I can see her trying to get to the next level. She's on the bed with me.
Isn't the next level death?
That's what I keep telling her. She's on the bed with me, and I'll see her do this thing. It's like, she's laid out like she just tipped over. Like, she just put her paws here and just fell over. And that's it. But every once in a while, she'll go, like, I'll see if I can get to the next level of slumber. And you see her stretch out and go, and then she'll go. And it's like, I'm trying to get deeper into some sort of doggy REM. And it's like, listen, baby, I've seen what you do during the day. You got a whole day of sleeping ahead of you, but you're trying to go coma on my ass at night. Like, you're out during the day in the entry hall, but at night you try to actually push yourself into a coma. Right. That's what my dog Molly does. Yeah, I really could seriously remove an appendix if actually dogs have one. The dogs
Which
have
I don't
an
know,
appendix?
I was going to go a spleen, and then
I'm
I realized
going with
I don't
spleen.
Know.
I don't know if they have one of those either.
I know we have one and don't need it, so we can give it away.
Gizzard.
Yes, you could remove,
Molly's gizzard while she's asleep, but every once in a while she'd like roll over and go... And I thought, and here's the other thing I thought, too, as I was thinking about Molly and I was thinking about my wife. My wife's night is ruined, too. Molly's being jostled around quite a bit. But I never feel sorry for people that don't have the heart out.
Right.
See, I know my alarm is going off at 4:30 and I'm going to get going for my day, and I thus feel sorry for me.
Right.
If you're telling
That's why you should, by the way.
Thank you. If you're telling me you didn't get any sleep last night, but you don't have anything to do the next day, then you've just taken your sleep and pushed it back.
Right.
That's all.
You've moved
you
it.
Just deferred it. You slid it over a few hours. All right. So let's see. I'll tell you about horrible night. But first, John.
Yeah.
What happened to you?
Okay. I was coming back from Prague, right? And we went into, flew into Frankfurt. This is 1995. Mm-hmm. And I ate a bad meal at the Frankfurt airport.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't aware of that. Mm. So I we're flying over the Atlantic, and my stomach starts to rumble. Mm-hmm. And I realize all of a sudden I have diarrhea, and I have to throw up.
Mm-hmm.
But I realize if I start either one of those processes, I will bury Venice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'm holding it, right? And everything's fine. I'm thinking, okay, I can do this. I'm sweating. I've never felt like this in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I have a sure way of stopping throw up. But I didn't have anything for diarrhea, so I didn't want to start the process.
What's your throw? Yeah. I want to know what the throw
What's
stopper
the sure
is.
Fire on puke stopping?
Oh, okay. Yeah. I developed this in college at UCR, and every 5 years I get sick, and I still use it. It works like a charm.
Mm-hmm.
Once you feel like you have to start
okay. Yeah.
All right. This is all you have to do.
All right.
And turn on the water. Get it to lukewarm at any faucet.
Mm-hmm.
Sit there after the initial throw up. Even if you have to start it with your finger, because you want to get it out of there, you want to feel good, you want to get back to bed.
Right.
Drink a half cup of warm water after each time you throw up. It goes down horribly, but it goes down there, it mixes with the bile, and you never have a dry heave. Water keeps coming up until it's all gone.
You know what? I can't see the phone screen from here, so I can't see your name, so I'm just going to go
John.
With a dumbass.
Oh.
When we all, did everybody else here, I've got the surefire thing for not throwing up?
Well, first I thought not throwing up, but No,
he told us he had a surefire cure.
I agree.
Yeah.
Wait, no, I meant not getting dry heaves.
Okay. All right. Now listen. It's not as intriguing, but all right. All right. So you flew, and by the way, you're calling from Riverside.
Yeah.
Do you think there's been to Prague?
I was going to say, you may be the only person in Riverside who's been to Prague. You ever think about that?
Well, my ex-wife, great girl, she owned Discover Tours and European Travel, so we got a lot of free tickets.
Good times.
Wow, that's cool.
All right, so runs and vomiting on the plane on the way back from Prague.
Yeah, but can I just tell you, in all honesty, I don't think the worst night of your life ever starts with these words. So I'm on the way back from Prague.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have a tough one with that if the plane didn't go down.
Yeah.
And you didn't have to eat your dead sister.
Yeah.
Or living sister, it might be worse.
In the Andes.
Or a guy named Andy, I don't care.
I chugged a whole bottle of big half-gallon jug of white wine when I was in high school. And I threw up on my I threw up on John Tyler's sweater that he lent me, and then I threw up on his sweater that he was wearing. It was comical. He had two sweaters that were exactly the same. I was wearing the red one. He was wearing the blue one. I don't know why I was wearing his sweater, but it was sort of a joke that we're both wearing these twin sweaters. We're in the back of a VW Squareback, and I vomited on his sweater. And then I vomited on his sweater again when I vomited on the sweater I was wearing. They dumped me off in my driveway, and I wasn't able to make it up all the way. I made it about 3/4 of the way up the driveway, and then I fell asleep in some shrubs. And then woke up in bed. I woke up in the early morning and must have gotten to my bed, but I did have gravel in my cheek, and I had red pock marks from the gravel that I'd slept on. And I very distinctly remember this, and this hasn't happened since. And I've vomited many times through sickness and many more times through booze. I had bloodshot eyelids. Like people said to me, literally the next day, what happened to your eyelids? Did you get punched in the eye? What happened? Do you have allergies? I threw up so goddamn hard that the vesicles in my eyelids burst.
Ooh.
So I had these red eyelids from heaving, not from, you know, getting hit or sleeping in the drive or anything. I was heaving so violently that my eyeballs almost blew out of my head.
I've heaved bad enough that it felt like the next day, like I had done 1,000 sit-ups
in a row.
Actually,
yes,
made me sore, like I had worked out beyond my capacity.
It is amazing when your body goes on autopilot and your muscles start contracting and whatnot, how much power they can do it with. Keith?
Yes.
I like your story. Tell it to us.
Actually, I got bit by a spider, and I didn't realize that it was a spider. So I'm a contractor, so for a week I went back and forth and just thought I had, you know, a little problem. And then I woke up.
Wait, where was the bite?
It was on the back of my leg. And I woke up one night and I stuck my hand back there and my finger went all the way in and just about touched the bone in the back of my leg.
So like the flesh was being eaten away?
Yeah, there was a chunk about the size of a silver dollar that just came right out of my leg, and I ended up going to the hospital. And like you guys were talking about a week ago, they said if I didn't come in pretty soon that I would have lost my leg.
Oh, what kind of spider was it?
Brown recluse.
Yep. Yeah, hear about them.
You hear about them. I've never seen one, I don't think.
Yeah, and the back of my leg, it looks like every time somebody sees my leg and I'm on a job site, they say, oh, what happened? You get shot with a shotgun or this or that, and I tell them a spider, and pretty wild, dude.
Let me say this. You know, I'm not Darwin. I'm not a man of science, and I'm not a religious man either. Right. But either one of them, maybe they could answer this question. Why did God or nature make something that eats mites and roaches and things have enough venom to take down a horse? You know what I mean? Like, it does that all the time. Like, they'll go, this spider can kill a water buffalo.
Right.
Yeah.
This scorpion can take down a man. You know what I mean? And
right.
It's like, well, what do you think? You ever see a scorpion? Is it a sexual thing? I mean, what are they doing to the guy? They're not eating it. The last I checked, a spider was eating a fly.
Right. Yeah.
So how many much more venom do you need? You know, and I mean, you need enough to kill a fly, don't you?
It seems unfair of God, as long as I'm going to go with men of God instead of men of science.
All right.
It seems unfair of God if he's going to bestow the power to kill a water buffalo on a spider.
Yeah.
Why he doesn't give me the ability to kill a water buffalo with one hit to the head while jumping over a building in a single bound.
Right.
He should do it for some folks, too.
I agree. And the idea that something that could easily crawl into your sleeping bag is enough to kill a water buffalo silently, by the way. It's not like, oh, I hear that spider coming.
Yeah.
It's not like they're
the ninja.
Well,
of
natural
the
selection.
Kingdom.
I mean, if they are able to protect themselves, then the spiders who have the most venom live longer and breed more, and thus the species.
Yeah, I'm down with that. But I'm just saying, I could protect myself with a 9mm. I don't have to drag an 18-inch gun from a battleship around the street.
Sure.
I mean, I don't need to sink an aircraft carrier. I just need to stop a gangbanger from getting. The spider needs to stop something in its immediate whatever. I don't know who eats spiders other than stupid guys who do shows on Discovery Channel.
Right.
I don't know if they have any natural predators or enemies. I think it's only guys showing off on the Discovery Channel, but
and
whatever
it
is.
That pitch I just had. Thanks, Adam.
All you need is enough venom to ward off whatever the hell eats you.
It's overkill.
It's over. What do you need to kill a horse or a contractor for?
I know we have calls, but do you guys want to hear about the time I accidentally did heroin when I was 17?
Yes, but hold on.
Wild, dude.
It was an accident.
I'll tell you what. I want to take a break and then hear about. We have gotten a drunk fight with a cop.
Ooh.
Neat.
Was tattooing a drug dealer, and then it just said went awry.
How else can it go?
Yeah, that was pre-awry. You know, the tattooing the drug dealer is you setting the awry table.
Yeah.
This is you waiting at the awry truck stop for the awry truck to come in.
Not learning how to spell Escobar in advance might have been stupid.
Pretty wild,
Medellin.
Dude.
Yes. Yeah.
You can't spell Medellin. Maybe you shouldn't do it.
And I wouldn't say, like, was tattooing a drug dealer went awry. I would say it went further in the awry direction
than when he entered.
We'd already down the awry road. We'll take a quick break. T will tell us about the time she accidentally chased a dragon at 17. And we'll tell you what else went awry next.
Hear the story of how Teresa accidentally did heroin. What was the craziest night of your life? Call 866-901-ADAM. And don't be a one-upper on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah, hate one-uppers. Yeah, so what happened, Courtney Love?
Well, I've never told this story to anybody because it sounds terrible, but I was 17 and I was at a summer dance program at Carnegie Mellon in Pittsburgh. Very serious dance training program.
Really?
We dance all day, 9 to 5, and we lived in a dorm. Hmm. And we had to sign in every night by 2 a.m. And I got
2 a.m.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
You had to be in your room at some point. And then I think they would check on you at some point.
Can't believe those Nazis wanted their underage kids who weren't living at home in by 2 a.m. I mean, how could you eat dinner? What'd you have to do? Just start eating, you know, about 1:30, 1:45, and just bring the meal home? I mean, how could you finish your meal?
The funny thing is about the meals, there were so many bulimics and anorexics that they would actually have a checklist at all the meals to make sure that you showed up at your meal and ate. But on a Friday
night... That was a summer you spent.
Yeah, 5 or 6 weeks.
At a hardcore dance school where the rules are you have to be home when the streetlights go off.
Well, we didn't have cars. Where were we going to go? We were living on a dorm.
You were 17.
Yeah.
You were going into your senior year of high school?
Yeah, between my junior and senior year.
Now, how did it screaming for attention.
How did it work out? How did you get involved with that?
Well, they auditioned people from different cities. Mm-hmm.
And then I
were good.
I was good, yeah.
Did it cost something?
I mean, I wasn't good. I think I had a scholarship. I was I was in the highest group, but I was the worst of the good people.
All right, but still in the highest group.
In the highest group, but clearly the worst. And so it was a struggle to keep up, and I got yelled at a lot. So one night I got mixed up with one of the guy dancers. His name was Cosmic Charlie.
Of course it was.
And he was a deadhead.
Wow.
And I was very, very innocent. Very goody-goody. Which continued after this. This was an accident.
Cosmic Charlie.
So I really wanted to fit in, and the Grateful Dead were in town in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
So he took me, and I thought, you know, when am I going to have this opportunity again? I should go to the Grateful Dead concert, although I hate dancing, and I never heard the Grateful Dead.
And spinning.
Yeah.
You know, I hate to cut you off so much of nothing, but Charlie is one of those names, it's the only one I can think of, that the casual, shorter version of it sounds like the older version of it. Like... Timmy is Timmy. You're young Timmy. You're not 50-year-old Timmy. You may become Timothy at some point. Some reason Charles sounds like a 13-year-old and Charlie sounds like a 58-year-old wino.
Yeah.
Good time, Charlie.
Charlie.
It's the only name I can think of where the shorter, abbreviated, sort of less casual, or I should say more casual version sounds like the older version.
Yeah,
it sounds like the old alcoholic version.
Henry.
Sorry, Henry.
Yeah. I think Cosmic Charlie might be the name of a Grateful Dead song. Anyone know?
It might be.
Oh, it is, yes.
Okay, so that may be why they called him that. So he took me, and
driving
it was fine.
A train, high-end cooking.
You know, there was the parking lot scene. I had a tuna fish sandwich on whole wheat. It was fine. And then everyone was, you know, doing LSD, and I thought, when am I going to... be in this situation again. Maybe I'll try it.
LSD would be a great idea for you, Teresa. you'd handle it just fine.
Turns out it was a horrible idea. Then the concert starts and the Neville Brothers were opening.
What's long, straight, sweet, this lane.
And somebody was passing around a hash pipe. And Cosmic Charlie hands it to me, and I just wanted to go with the flow. I didn't want to be, you know, the uptight dance girl. So he hands me the... what I thought was the hash pipe, and then I smoked it. I've already done the acid. And I've had a beer. And by the way, mind you, before this, I'd never done any drugs, or really since.
Oh, my God. Acid and heroin was your hello?
Well, I thought I was smoking the hash, and then I pass along
Cosmic
down the line.
Cosmic
Charlie starts giggling, and now he can't stop.
Oh, really?
He can't stop giggling. His tears are streaming down his face, and I'm like, what? What? Now I'm getting paranoid because I'm already high as a freaking kite, and I don't know what's happening, and he can't stop laughing.
She said kite, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Then he said, I have to tell you something.
Because she's the other right now.
Right.
Remember that hash you just smoked? That was synthetic heroin.
Wow.
Now I'm on heroin hash. coffee and beer. I have to get home by 6 a.m. There was like some kind of bed check. I don't remember how I got home. Mm-hmm. I don't have any recollection. I just remember being in class the next morning, dancing, and thinking I would give anything to just not be high anymore. Yeah.
Oh, you were still high.
Oh, God, yes.
And I thought people can tell they're looking at me. I never danced better.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Yeah, acid will make you do that.
It was terrible.
Well, first of all, when you've got nine arms to wave around, you can really dance like crazy.
I was high for 2 weeks, it felt
I will get by.
I accidentally took acid. I took acid on purpose, but I totally forgot it was my dad's wedding day.
Oh, no.
Just attended my dad's wedding, just hallucinating and freaking out.
But did really you like weird. The feeling?
I liked acid a lot. Oh, I thought acid was fine. I've only done it like five times, but I thought it was really interesting. Any hallucinogen, but they're just too big of a deal. I'm too off center now to think that thinking I am so fascinating that I can save the world, and that's what acid does, plus with little pictures, that I don't think I could do it now. I don't think I could come out of it and think that was a great idea.
The thing about, I never got an acid. I used to love mushrooms, although... You know, mushrooms, this is why nobody really spins out of control with mushrooms, because you do mushrooms and then you go, oh, my God, that was awesome. I'm going to do them again next weekend. And then 6 years later, you do them for the second time.
Right.
It's hard to get mushrooms on your schedule.
Right.
I don't know what the deal is. I've loved mushrooms. I've always had fun with mushrooms. But I average about 6 years in between doing mushrooms. For some reason, I just can't squeeze the mushrooms in.
Maybe it's like date night. You have to pencil it in.
You have to pencil it in. I need a date with psilocybin. And the thing is, you have to make time to date the hallucinogens.
Right.
And the other problem with the mushrooms and the acid certainly is hard to regulate. Like, booze got that down to a science. I know just how much I can drink and then how much to drink for how long to ride that nice buzz through the afternoon or what have you. The mushroom, you could eat a handful of mushrooms and an hour into it go, I don't feel a thing, or you could be spinning like a dreidel. You don't know. That's the problem. And worse... You could be with somebody that's high as a kite when you're not coming onto it at all or feeling anything. And I remember saying to my buddies, listen, I'm getting tired of you guys staring at your hands. I'm bored. I'm hitting the road. And I went to go get on my motorcycle and leave. And they all started crying.
Oh, no.
No. And I was like, I'm fine. And they're like, no, don't ride the bike. No, don't get on the motorcycle. And I'm like, you don't understand. I'm not high. I'm not feeling high. I don't feel high. I'm going to get on my bike. I'm going to my buddy's house. He's got a swimming pool. I'm going to swim in his pool and I'm going to eat. And you guys can stay here and continue staring at your hands. Yeah. And they're like literally weeping.
Well, they liked you.
The other thing you got to be careful is the two different highs. You don't want to mix the highs.
Right.
You don't want me and my good buddy going sick on the mushrooms and a super coked up Ray and his hussy girlfriend to show up banging on the door. Now you got coked up meets high on mushrooms. Both, everyone's high.
Yeah.
Two different highs.
Yeah.
That is...
It's not a Reese's.
Yeah, not going to work. It's you trying to put your hair dryer into the Euro socket that runs off 220 or something. It's like, nice. Requires electricity. They have electricity. Going to blow up.
Yeah.
Not going to work.
The
idea of speedballing was to combine the two highs in you. It's what killed Belushi.
Right.
Cocaine and heroin. During my biggest days, I was an amalgamist, man. You'd get me a mortar and pestle, and I mean it. I'd get a mortar and pestle and just grind up all sorts of stuff and then just put a straw in it and snort it and see what happened.
Like the Martha Stewart of
good times.
Heroin.
Yes, making rock soup in his nose. Allie?
Oh, yeah.
Stone soup.
Stone soup. What's happening?
Not much, man. How you doing?
Good. What's your story?
Well, I got chased up into a tree by an elk when I went to relieve myself while I was camping.
Nice. Good times. Now, what happened?
It's Prague.
All right. Well, I was out. I decided to go out on a camping trip. I had a few beers, went to bed, woke up in the middle of the night, went out. All of a sudden, I hear something behind me. I look over, and I see a big elk, and it's not happy.
Mm-hmm.
And so it decides to chase me up a very thorny tree where I ended up spending the entire night waiting for it to go away so I could get down, and it never did.
Did it have the big, I don't know, 8-point or 10-point or whatever it is, the big horns?
I don't know like how many points it was, but it was definitely a big old rack of horns, and they were gonna hurt me if I got down. So.
Yeah, the rack of horns on the elk is sort of dismissed as, I don't know, cute or something, but a whole bunch of very sharp chopsticks coming at you by something that weighs 500 pounds pushing it couldn't be a good day.
No.
I mean, it's like the world's worst thorn bush coming at you.
Exactly.
That would suck very badly. As a matter of fact, I'd rather have a ram or something of that nature come at me than something with a bunch of stuff that could go through me.
Have you ever seen a film or anything of either a sailfish, it's not a swordfish, but a big sailfish like a marlin, leaping out of the water and skewering a person all the way through?
No.
I've seen the footage. Have you seen it, Brian? Yeah. The lady?
There's a lady who was holding camera, and the thing came right at her.
Right at her, skewered her.
Yeah.
You know that happens approximately 15 times a year across the world? They jump up. It's on sailboats. It's on cruisers, and you're sleeping on deck, and the marlin dives for your mast light and comes down. And skewers it. This lady was actually filming her husband catch this fish, and it just dove up out of the boat and went through her false breast, saved her life.
Impaled her.
Impaled her.
Really? Yeah. Impaled her implant?
That's a tough night.
Wow.
Well, I want to know about this dude who was in the tree all night. Was he trying to shout for his family and friends?
Do people know you're up there?
The only people that knew that I was there was my mother and my stepfather. They knew I was going to be going out camping and everything, but they expected me back the next day.
You went camping solo?
Yes. I go
horrible
hiking.
Horrible idea.
I go hiking from
that
time to time.
That is a stunt on Jew-ass.
You,
camping alone.
You can't just rub one out in the shower at home. You gotta take to the hills.
Oh, of course.
No, but I mean, well, listen, I don't have time to scratch his lottery ticket.
Right.
But look, you show me a guy who goes camping alone, I'll show you a guy I don't want to go camping with.
Yeah, you show me a guy who goes camping alone, I'll show you Ted Kaczynski.
Yeah, there's always something. There's something to that camping alone thing. One day, I will give a list of acceptable things you can do alone.
Yeah.
We'd like to work that out one of these days, which is like, you can go to eat alone as long as you eat standing up.
Right.
Or the sun is shining. You go to dinner alone, we got a problem. If you just sit down and order a dinner, sorry, baby, that's not camping alone.
Okay.
No.
But that's going alone.
I think dinner alone is okay, though, because I don't eat at regular hours. I do dinner alone when I'm happily married and have a family full of people. I'll do dinner alone all the time.
At a restaurant.
Yeah. Sit down.
I bring a book.
If you could do it standing up, it'd be a lot easier. Right? Well, somehow eating standing up alone is fine.
I know this girl who used to, when she was staying in a hotel or anything like that, would order for two. So even room service wouldn't know she ate alone.
Now, it's weird. I've deemed room service as perfectly fine. I've been to a million hotels and ordered room service. And I can go down and do the lunch thing alone, but I've never done the dinner.
Wow.
Thing alone. Going to movies alone. It depends on a few things. Depends on what the movie is,
right,
for some reason, what the genre is. I haven't worked any of this out
yet.
Maybe
it's a French film and it's dubbed and your only friend is Ray.
Yes. And maybe, anything that involves reading. And maybe for some reason, a matinee worse than a nighttime movie. I'm not even sure why. There seems to be something. Maybe it's the employment factor suggests you're not working or something. Camping alone is definitely a deal breaker.
Yeah, there's just something wrong with that. I'll give you a quick, and you could pick millions, but I was just talking about this with Amy last night because I thought I had mentioned it before. I'm sure I mentioned it to you guys. Remember I told you I had a hydrocele operation where they had to operate on my left testicle?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, they did that because it was the size of a large baked potato. Another friend might describe it as a softball, but nobody will describe it as anything smaller than that. It was huge.
Right. But they didn't have to put foil around it,
before,
did they?
No, and you couldn't nuke it.
Mm-hmm.
But before they did the surgery, which was nothing compared to this, they drained it by hypodermic three times.
Big bore. Bad times.
That sticking a it's big like hypodermic... Idiot. Where you have a cylinder almost the size of a water bottle is your hypodermic and a regular size needle, like a 20-gauge needle, and they fill it twice with
bad
that much
times.
Fluid. And then they did it two more times before they decided surgery is the only answer.
Pretty wild, dude.
Having a needle stuck right in one of your nuts is, like, just not good.
But
it doesn't really
even do it alone.
Yeah, I'd do it alone if I knew. Well, I could do it alone now.
Yeah, I was
just saying, like, what is the big difference, really, in a weird way? Like, I would work out and do workout alone the time, yeah, every day, but yet would never go to a meal alone or a movie alone. And, you know, arguably, you do just as much talking in a movie, which is zero, as you would if you were jogging with somebody or going to work out with someone. For me, work out alone, don't give it a second thought. Go to a movie alone, would never dream of doing it.
Well, before the movie starts is a little rough. You got to bring a book.
That's right. All right. Ooh, someone was slipped 6 tabs of acid.
That's
nice.
Worse than with Cosmic
and then the
Charlie.
Tattoo. All right, I'm going to try to do this fast so we don't get too far behind. First, Adam. Adam?
Yeah.
6 tabs of acid.
Yeah, I was 18 years old.
How do you know it was 6?
Because my friends told me, and I saw them floating in my beer.
Oh, and they didn't think you'd get off on 4 or 5 tabs of acid? They had to go with 6?
No, it was actually a fry party up in Brea.
What's that?
It's an LSD party.
Oh.
Brea is what he calls his frontal lobe.
It was pretty insane, like
It's now
just,
Sleepy Hollow.
Yeah.
No, I dosed once before, and I had like 1 tab, 1.5 tabs, and it was completely controlled. I was in my mom's. I thought everything was cool.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend's like, oh, yeah, there's this fry party. You got to go to it. Dude, it's going to be awesome. So I go to this party. I get a tab, and I'm drinking, it's on my tongue, and I spit it out while I'm talking, so I'm like, oh, give me another half tab. My friend's like, oh, yeah, we'll take care of you. So then they come back, and one of my friends like, oh, hey, let me have a sip of your beer. No worries. I start drinking.
It's shocking that he's done a lot. Here's the whole thing.
I didn't see that one coming.
Yeah.
It was long, straight.
I had to put him on hold because he just dropped the S-bomb on the radio. Look, all the folks out there that think that the copious amounts of weed they smoked all the way through their childhood through high school and all the acid they've dropped all the way through high school and college hasn't had any negative effects. You're the one who thinks you can say the S word on the public airwaves at 7 a.m.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're the guy. Because I'm even aware, with all the stuff I've done to my body, I am aware that I cannot order lemonade and iced tea together at a restaurant with its appropriate name.
That's right.
You know what the name of that drink is?
The Arnold Palmer.
I can't say it for the life of me. I mumble it, or I say iced tea and lemonade, please.
It is one of those weird things where if you've decided you can't say
it. I can't say it. That and theme thong.
For me, I think it's desalinization.
Theme thong.
Well, desalinization comes up so often.
I know. That and the paddles.
That's why you're no longer able to read Salinger.
You mean defibrillation?
Yes.
I think I just botched that.
Hey, Gil?
Yeah?
Quickly, you were tattooing a drug dealer when it went awry?
Yeah, I was tattooing a dude that happened to deal coke and weed. And he has every lock and alarm system on his door. And I end up finishing up the tattoo, and he gives me some mushrooms together. This dude will not shut up. For the life of me, he is killing my buzz.
Mm-hmm.
So I end up heaving, man, and I cannot stop throwing up. I'm dying here.
He has locks on his door so you can't get out?
Yeah, so I want to leave. Mm-hmm. I want to get out of there.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, hey, you know what? You're going to have to spend the rest of the night here until this wears off. And
he didn't want you to drive.
No, it wasn't that he didn't want me to drive. He didn't want me leaving thinking that I might steal some of his coke or his weed or whatever. But
I don't understand. Yeah. Couldn't he have just opened the door and let you out, and then locked the door after you left?
We were tripping.
Everyone was too high. All right.
Yeah. So it's about 6:00. The guy ends up passing out, and I try to get out, and I cannot get out for the life of me. So I have all my tattoo gear with me. I'm about to open the.
Oh my God!
All right.
Wow.
Well, my point was proven one more time by him dropping the F-bomb on the air. And here's the whole thing about the last F and S-bomb we just heard drop.
It didn't have to happen.
No, it's like, again, if you're relating a story And you say, what happened? How'd you get that black eye? And you go, I was getting into my car in the parking structure, and all of a sudden, this guy just came flying at me, screaming F-S and punching me in the face. Well, at least you're just quoting
right.
what he said. Yes. But we just heard the part where I think to myself, holy F.
Right.
You didn't even say it.
You only thought
you're
it yourself.
You're saying what you thought. If you'd thought it this time, we wouldn't be hanging up on you.
Well, maybe you thought went, about our jobs.
His call went awry.
All right. We need to take ourselves a break. T?
This dude will not shut up.
Yes.
What's coming up in the news?
Well, you heard about the helicopter crash in Phoenix.
Yes.
Yeah. There were two had traffic choppers that collided. A third chopper was also in the air following this high-speed chase. He was reporting live. I will have that audio for you.
Chilling, I know. I've heard it.
It's very, very chilling. And also, what's going on with both Nicole Richie and Brian Dunkelman?
Good times.
Neither one of them are boning you anymore?
Both pregnant? Dunkelman's pregnant with Seacrest? I'll work this out. All right, news next.
Hey, I'm giving a shout out to Adam Carolla. And no, you're not my secret boyfriend. You might be my boyfriend, but it's not a secret anymore.
71? $72 million? Holy gravy.
Yeah, you
God,
mean this
movie's made
moving.
A lot of money. Yeah.
Yeah, $71.9 million are the early estimates.
That's insane.
Yeah. They marketed the movie very well.
Yeah, although, you know, because we're all sort of superstitious natives, we do that thing where we need a reason why everything.
Yeah.
Maybe everyone just likes The Simpsons.
Everyone
because,
loves it.
I saw a lot of commercials for The Wicker Man, and that movie didn't make any money. And I saw a lot of movies for, I saw a lot of commercials for a lot of movies that, over the past 5 years,
yeah.
I mean, think about the ones you've been just sort of hit over the head with and didn't make an effing penny
yeah.
at the box office.
Tons.
I don't know if they did a good job or a bad job. I just think people pass a billboard and they have about 0.2 seconds and they go, either I'm in or I'm out.
Right.
It's like you do it with soft drinks. You go driving down the freeway, you pass a billboard, there's some funky time Mexican soda up there called Bimbos, and there's mm-hmm. a bear, and you go, not ever going to drink that.
Right.
And someone's like, yeah, but it's papaya, and it's carbonated. And you're like, nope, never, nope, never going to. And then once in a while, you see something, whether it's an energy drink or sports drink or whatever, a soda, and you pass by the thing, and you just see the picture of it, and you go, I'll try one of those.
Cherry vanilla soda from some, you know, like an antique-ish looking bottle.
That's right.
I've seen that billboard. Yeah. I had to have some.
Dr. So-and-so's root beer or whatever in a nice brown bottle,
yeah,
whatever. Like,
it.
I'd pass that and I'd go, I could give it. I'll go drive right into that factory right now.
But I don't think
like a bomber.
The Simpsons has really done that, except the billboard thing, which is right. But I haven't seen, although I don't watch a great deal of television, but I haven't seen overwhelming marketing for this movie.
They run the stuff, but no more so. And I'd be curious to find out. I don't think I've seen any more of that than the last Nick Cage flop that nobody saw. It's just we all saw the Simpsons commercial and went, oh, yeah, like that, versus, nah, gonna keep driving. Just not for me. Not gonna see that movie.
Want to pick up a movie who's no one's gonna see no matter what?
What?
And I hope they're not sponsors. Underdog. No one's gonna know. Live action with an average dog and an average kid.
I think I know, and then I would agree with you, I should say, but I've been wrong so many times when especially when they've remade some sort of cartoon from the 70s or something. I think, who the hell wants to? And then next thing you know, $100 million later, I'm like, well.
Well, that's the difference between us. When I'm wrong, I totally don't care. When I'm right, I lord it over you.
Well, Lord Teresa?
Yes.
What's coming up in the news, baby girl? Cosmic Charlie. Teresa's
horrible,
new nickname.
Horrible times.
Mm-hmm.
Well, horrible times also in Phoenix, Arizona on Friday. You've probably heard by now that two competing news helicopters collided. They were both attempting to follow a car chase. Four people, the pilot and cameraman aboard each chopper, were killed. Now, here's an interesting turn before I play you some very compelling and very sad audio of that incident. Under Arizona law, the guy who gave chase, his name is Jones. He is being held now, locked up on carjacking charges with $1 million bail.
Is he giving chase?
He
or is she creating chase?
Created the chase.
Right.
Is it only the guys, the police gave chase?
Right.
Only
right.
Owen actually gives chase.
Right.
Lindsay gives chase.
Yes, thank
usually
you.
It's the cops.
It's
thank
refreshing, yes, but yes. Yes.
Thank you for that correction. He was running from the law because he was suspected of being a carjacker.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he may be accountable for those four deaths.
Mm-hmm.
Legally speaking. So that's going to be an interesting question.
Yeah,
is it his fault that they died?
Well, I'm one of these people that normally I would think, well, that's outlandish. And of course, it's not murder one. On the other hand, I definitely do believe that there's a sort of chain of events.
Sure.
And whoever started that chain of events is responsible. I've said many times, you know, you hear those stories where, well, the guy hopped into the guy's backyard. He just wanted to steal his barbecue and the neighbor shot him dead. And I always think to myself, wow, shouldn't have stole his barbecue.
Yeah, damn right.
That's my first impulse all the time. Yeah. And it could have been prevented. I always look at it this way. If you were never born, would this have happened?
Yeah.
If you never tried to evade thee or jump thee or break into thee, whatever it was, no matter how innocuous it was at the beginning, and this isn't innocuous, you're trying to evade the cops.
Yeah, high speed.
You could have tried to evade the cops and ran over a kid who was crossing the street. That's absolutely your fault. Well, this is one step removed from you running away from the kid. If you try to evade the police and you run over a kid, you're going to get more than manslaughter. You're going to get murder.
You're going to get murder.
Right. All right. So one step removed from you running over the kid is the news agency helicopters and four bodies. How about manslaughter?
I'm thinking
it
for sure.
It sounds like manslaughter to me. Now here is.
But voluntary.
Right.
Voluntary manslaughter.
In a way, yeah.
He's a 23-year-old kid, this kid, Christopher Jermaine Jones, and he had already allegedly committed a carjacking. Now he's on a high-speed chase. He's endangering the, our bravest and finest. So
everybody who participates willingly or not, whether you're the kid crossing the street or whether you're the cop who's chasing him, you're involving people in your mayhem.
Absolutely. Now, here is some live audio from one of the news stations. I believe these are the anchors talking as their news chopper is up in the air. This is right before the crash. You will hear the crash.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right, they're closing in. Looks like they've...
Oh, jeez.
We're going to pull out. We don't know what has just happened right there. It looks like the police have closed in on him. We don't know what exactly has transpired between the police.
These planes have a cameraman who's just basically looking at the world through the camera lens. Right. And these are the same guys who get run over by the rally racers because they're watching the car come at them because they're thinking this is a great shot, except for they're going to get hit in a second. They got the cameraman and they have the pilot who's reporting, but they don't have a spotter.
Yeah.
And so you have two guys fixated on one point on the ground, and then you have a 30-foot rotor blade that extends 12 feet, 13 feet past where you are, times two. That's a radius of, 30 feet that you have to deal with. Isn't this bound to happen?
It happens all the time. When I worked on Good Day New York, the chopper pilot we had there had crashed more than once.
Wow. Yeah. Now, the thing is, those were the news anchors in a studio that were talking.
Right.
So what happened there, what I think we heard was, and that was a girl on her feet, so to speak, that those two helicopters crashed. She saw it.
Yeah, and said, we have to go off the air.
And said, we're pulling out right now. We're not quite sure what happened. I think the police have actually moved it on the side. Yeah. Mentioned nothing about the crash that had just gone all over television.
Yes, she did a great job.
She did a great job. If withholding news from the news is a good job.
I don't know. She had to take a moment.
I don't know what her visual was. I don't know.
It's unclear what she was seeing.
It didn't sound good.
So far, there's no video that I could find of this crash. I found that that's all over YouTube. Here is what I think is possibly more disturbing live audio, because here's somebody who clearly has a bird's eye view, because this is another pilot.
Oh.
Obviously, every news affiliate is covering the same high-speed chase. Here's a pilot from the Fox affiliate named Don Hooper, and he was on the air live as he approached the scene of the crash. He freaks out.
Holy crap! Oh, no! Oh, Jesus! Oh, God. Oh, my gosh. Hey, oh, my God. Channel 15 and Channel 3 just had a mid-air collision. They're in the park. Oh, man. Oh, Jesus. Oh, my gosh. Oh, Phoenix Tower, Skyblock 10, just had a mid-air collision over here at the park. Two helicopters.
He's free. He's hyperventilating.
Two helicopters down.
Could you?
Yeah, I'm good. I just watched that whole thing.
Could you imagine? Imagine how many F-bombs our last caller would have dropped if he was watching.
Can you imagine?
Although this guy was casually relating a story from a few years ago and dropped an F-bomb. Could you imagine how the string of Fs that would have come flying out of his mouth?
Now, we are no longer on. This happened in Phoenix, correct?
Absolutely.
And we are no longer on there. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm,
okay.
Right.
I'm not making light of anything. I just want you to know, if I've got two cameramen in the air and there's no video of the crash, I would fire their corpses.
Mm.
That's your job, dude.
I think they were on fire already, Danny.
Danny.
Somebody'll have. Well, somebody has stills of the helicopters going down. I do believe I have seen still shots.
So
but
far,
I've not
no
seen.
Video has surfaced. Perhaps it will, or perhaps it has, and I'm not aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
That
well,
is
anyway,
a possibility.
Look, the thing about these kinds of tragedies are. Hopefully, the only good that ever comes from this kind of thing is somebody says, wow, this is insane.
We
now need a spotter and some rules. When there's rules involving everything that has to do with anything that goes up in the air, somebody will enact some rules and hopefully some lives will be spared in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, here's another interesting legal question, this one having to do with Nicole Richie, who ended up being sentenced to 4 days behind bars instead of the 5, which I think is the mandatory minimum. She gets credit for 1 day served thanks to the 6 hours she spent in custody when she was first arrested. After pleading guilty this past Friday to her second DUI within 4 years, she was fined $2,000, given 3 years probation, ordered to attend an alcohol education course, and told that if she gets convicted of a DUI again, she's looking at a year in prison. Now, if she kills somebody while driving impaired, she would now be charged with murder instead of manslaughter. Why is her license not suspended? She's had two DUIs in 4 years. That is up to the DMV. They now get to decide. And I should mention, TMZ is reporting as of very recently this morning that she is indeed pregnant. They've confirmed it, but that is according to TMZ.
Doesn't seem like she should be teaching the alcohol education course. Doesn't seem like she knows the most about it.
You think?
Like, maybe that's what they mean. Maybe she's sitting there and there's a bunch of guys in there like raised. Whoa, what exactly is rye, Nicole? Good question. Good question.
You mean like a how-to?
Yeah, picture Canadian single malt. I still haven't figured out what rye is, but she really, look.
Oh, my God. And now she's pregnant.
She should be teaching
like
the alcohol education class. Nobody has a greater education in alcohol than
a
she does.
A dry martini? You put a tiny bit of vermouth.
Just a hint.
Well, so that is, I mean, you know, 2 and 4 years. I mean, you've made the point, Adam, that unfortunately a lot of us have had a drink and driven when we shouldn't have. But two DUIs in 4 years, how many times did she not get busted?
A gazillion, because I've never had one.
Right.
There
it,
you go.
It is either you're horribly unlucky and that's not what happened, or you're doing a ton of boozed up driving.
Yes.
And you're doing it at the time when they're looking for boozed up drivers.
Right.
You're leaving the after hours club at 4:30 in the morning, and that's when they're looking for boozed up drivers. You know, the reality is these people should not be driving the Escalades with the 26-inch spinners and triple chrome rims on there.
It's almost a hint.
I have a buddy who likes to have a nip, and he lives across town, and he did the math on him getting pulled over pretty damn quick, and he bought himself a Volvo station wagon.
Ooh.
Smart boy.
That's perfect.
It is. He does not get pulled over in his Volvo station wagon because no matter how many times we tell cops not to profile, they profile.
Yeah.
And they see a Ferrari 430 convertible heading home at 4:30 in the morning. They know that guy's not going to work at the accounting office. They know he's heading home from partying his ass off.
Right.
And who the hell's parties until 3:34 in the morning without some sort of intoxicant, some sort of libation, something
stimulant maybe.
Something is in their system. But the Volvo wagon.
It's just a MILF on a wild night.
Hey, no, that guy's going to work at 4:30 in the morning, not coming home from the Viper room.
Right.
I used to think about that on my way to my last job, and we were on at 5, so I'd split around 4. And I think they're all just going to think I'm drunk, and I'm going to get pulled over every single day. But I've had really good luck there.
If these chicks would humble themselves and get themselves like a Volvo. Beige Taurus wagon.
Oh. Yeah.
Or Volvo station wagon.
Yeah.
I would love to know statistically, and they have this with, you know, red is the most popular car,
yellow.
White, blah, blah,
whatever.
Yellow, this and that. This car, the Toyota Camry is the most stolen car, the Honda Acura, whatever those insurance institute stats are. I want to know the car that gets pulled over the least as far as the DUI is going, and that's my selling point.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, I'm not gonna kid you, Paris. The Daihatsu Charade is not a lot of car, but... And hear me out. Never. Now, look, you're a woman of means.
Right.
This is a $2,200 three-cylinder automobile. There's no doubt about it. But in the history of the Daihatsu Charade, not one has ever been pulled over. 15 have been run over by other drunk people in their SUVs, but no one has ever, in the history of the Daihatsu Charade, gotten themselves a DUI behind the wheel of one.
Well, it's the perfect name for her to get home safe. By the way, side joke on this, you'll be in a charade the whole time.
That's right.
Act like a normal
person.
Well,
let me get to this briefly before we have to go to break. You may remember Brian Dunkelman. He co-hosted the first season of American Idol with Ryan Seacrest.
Yeah,
Brian Dunkelman.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this was all over the internet. Apparently, he was doing some comedy at the Laugh Factory in Los Angeles.
And John Lovitz kicked his ass.
No, that was the comedy story. But no, that wasn't the Laugh Factory. He apparently really offended the audience. Now, I don't know. I wasn't there. But the reports are saying that he said if wishes came true, Ryan Seacrest would have AIDS. Then he said he probably already has AIDS.
Mm-hmm.
And the crowd got very quiet. Let me say this. I know Brian Dunkelman, and I saw him do many, many a set. He's very edgy, and perhaps this could have been misunderstood or taken out of context. It sounds horrible.
Yeah,
right, let me try it and see how you feel, Adam. Ready?
All right.
Hey, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for coming out. Make sure to take care of those waitresses. You know, remember when American Idol first started? It was such a huge success, and they dumped me off the show. My life would have been so different. I just think if wishes came true that Ryan Seacrest would have AIDS. As a matter of fact, I'll bet he already does.
Couldn't you just start dropping N-bombs?
About Ryan?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm trying to think, but look.
He's edgy.
Everybody, every time Steve-O staples a sack to his inner thigh or somebody gets up on stage, has a few beers, and crosses some line in the name of comedy, we all got to freak out about this?
Right.
It's a comedy.
If it
you
says
know,
comedy at the door, you have to take the chances.
Yes.
Yes, he's doing comedy. Who cares?
Yes,
I mean,
absolutely.
Look, you can decide whether you're a fan of this person's brand of comedy and not support it. But it's still under the umbrella of comedy. It's like rapping. I'm going to rap about smacking my hoe or getting shot by the cops or my old lady or whatever it is. That's your creative outlet. Aren't we used to this by now? I mean, what year are we in? When was Lenny Bruce doing this crap?
Sure.
45 years ago, for the love of Christ?
Yeah.
And are we still going to get offended over the same crap that these guys were doing, George Carlin, Lenny Bruce, whoever, in the 60s?
Well, it seems like you could get offended if you want, but you shouldn't go to any place. I used to say to my wife, you can't blaspheme in a comedy club.
Right.
It says comedy on the door.
Sure.
You have to accept what you get.
Right.
Absolutely. Teresa Strasser, out.
Out of eggs.
In my uterus?
Yes.
I've got a couple still in there, I think.
All right. Hope one has my name on it. We need to take ourselves a break. Two pieces of good news. One is Steve, our Asian listener.
Oh.
Is there one Asian listener? Well, we have two Asian listeners.
Who's
have Steve. The other's Guy Aoki, who represents the anti-defamation league for Asians.
Right.
Who hopes we say one bad thing to offend the one Asian that we have listening other than him. But we're going to spread some love to our Asian community because Steve is coming in here. Seems sharp. We're still looking for a phone screener, so we're going to continue with him. Also, it's a Music Monday. Best and worst workout songs. Your iPod is set to shuffle.
Right. Yeah.
You, we were talking about the treadmill, but we'll do something that Danny and I know best, hitting the heavy bag.
Right.
There's a little bell that goes off that says 30 seconds left. Oftentimes, when you go to a gym, they have the gym will be on a bell. It'll ring. You'll have a minute or 30 seconds off.
I have one.
Yes, I have one too, and it will ring and say 30 seconds. So now, that's when you want to kick it into a higher gear.
See what you made of.
Your iPod shuffle is going to change at that 30 second bell. Best and worst songs to either kick you into overdrive or just have you start making love to the bag while weeping. Done it many times. Got me thrown out of many a gym. Ozzy's got his Simpsons review, all that. But we'll continue our quest for the new phone screener next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaduce and Teresa Strasser. We're looking for a new phone screener.
Let's talk to Steve. Steve?
Yeah, Adam.
You're Asian?
Yeah, I am Asian.
Mm-hmm. Can you type?
Come on, I'm Asian. I can put like a computer in my hand.
Had to put a flashlight up his mom so he could email from inside the womb.
Search for our new phone screener continues on the Adam Carolla Show.
Steve Yoon, everybody.
Morning, Steve.
Hey.
I think
turn that mic on.
Heat Steve's mic up. Steve is 23 years of age, of Korean descent, and let's see, says here, raised in Southern California, went to UC San Diego, dropped out after 3 years. Why, Steve?
Mainly due to bad grades, but it was mainly, I could have gone back, but my mom refused to
she didn't continue want to pay
the funding.
It.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, had you been a good student in high school?
Oh, yeah. I was good pretty much up till freshman year of college, yeah.
Why'd you suck in college?
The freedom overwhelmed.
Yeah,
yeah.
Here's the thing, too. Why send your kid to a college that's too close to a beach and a country called Tijuana?
Yeah.
Right, where I was yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
What the hell? I mean, Tijuana is way too close to San Diego State, especially. Everyone I knew who went to San Diego State just went to Tijuana, got drunk for a couple years, failed out, eventually had to come home with their tail between their legs. Yeah, go. Here's where you need to go. You need to go to a place that snows for college.
Yeah,
there'll be some boozing, but there'll also be some studying. Don't send them to Arizona State. Don't send them
to Hawaii.
Santa Barbara. Don't send them to Hawaii. Don't send them to any of those
UC
places.
UC Artica.
That's
there
right.
You
go to Cornell upstate. It's cold.
Point is Steve called. Now, Steve's a fan of the show, yes?
Big fan, huge fan. Probably your biggest.
Actually, it says, listens to the Adam Carolla Show every minute of every day. Is that a true statement?
That is, well, not every day. I get the podcast, so I don't listen starting from 6, but I have listened to every minute of this show since probably last June.
God love you, Steve.
June, a very popular Korean name, by the way.
Yes.
Steve, what would you like, by the way?
You're that nerd.
Since you're very familiar with the show, for our next break.
Okay.
Would you like some Home Improvement? Would
nerd!
You like some Mr. Burcham? Would you like some What Can't Adam Complain About?
I'm
or Devil Danny,
I'm
Angel Adam?
Of, yeah, the Angel Adam, Devil Danny.
Boy,
what can't Adam complain about?
Fun. Do you enjoy the news?
Oh, I love the news.
Yeah. In
the
general, not yours.
Show, which,
yeah.
Which I look forward to.
Yeah, on CNN he likes.
Well, let me ask you this, Adam. When Steve called us on Friday, you said you had a gut feeling. You just liked him.
Mm-hmm.
How are you feeling now?
It passed.
Like a kidney stone.
I just lifted one cheek off the stool, and all of a sudden my gut feeling about Steve had gone into the ether.
Oh.
No, I'll tell you what I'll tell you. Look.
I like him.
I love the Asians. That's number one.
Me too.
look, if I have, I just think I you know, again, stereotype. But if it's a positive stereotype, quit complaining.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. If you're a brother and the stereotypes, you have a big honker.
Go with that.
Let it ride.
Yeah, sure.
Let it ride. The hardworking Asian stereotype and smart, and you know, you asked him if he could type. I knew he could type. I don't know why.
Yeah, but the cool thing was that he said, when she said, can you type, he said, come on, I'm Asian.
Right.
Which lets you know he's already a good sport.
And the reality is, did it again, I did my double is, when thinking about that lately, and I'm up in my head, I say
talk.
is all
double
the
is.
Time. Yeah.
Embrace it.
Can we move forward? I should try.
It is your trademark.
It is.
Exactly.
By the way, I don't know if that's had a renaissance or somebody made it up about 4 years ago and it really caught on, but three times a day somebody says, it is what it is.
I hate it.
That doesn't help me at all.
Me either. I hate it, in fact.
But if they would add a third is.
It is what it is.
I would then be amused for a few months.
Well, it just means nothing.
It's nice to have, as I explained, one of everyone on the show. Now, they don't talk about it too much, but the reality is it's good to have a gay guy. It's good to have an Asian guy. It's good to have a black guy. It's good to have a Jewish girl. It's good to have a girl. It's nice if you can kill a couple with one stone, like you just get a black chick.
Who's a lesbian?
Right. Jewish black chick to do
it enriches
news.
Our show to have people from various cultures and genders.
Yeah.
I'm looking right at Steve, and no matter where this guy's ancestry is from, he's not going to enrich anything. Okay. He's going to know. No, I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean, he's going to get diligent and do his gig and settle down. That's what I believe.
I believe.
Well, okay, enriches in that sense. You're absolutely right. I think he's going to hunker down. Mm-hmm. And do his gig. And that will be his main focus. His main focus will not be trying to figure out a way to get the spotlight.
Well, what don't we know about Koreans?
The most of them don't like kimchi either, I hope, because that's so snarly.
We all love kimchi.
And?
Let's see. We're not all mean or angry or whatever Adam thought, but a lot of them are. A lot of them are, though, definitely. Especially
a tough
the older
breed.
Yeah, especially the
and
older.
And you live at home with your mom.
Yes, I do.
She's tough.
She's actually on the non-tough side. She's loosened up, but yeah, I've broke her down.
Mm-hmm. And now you're working in the accounting field?
The exciting field of accounting, yes.
Mm-hmm. And you like to do our phones. Maybe I should ask a couple of questions of Steve before we send him in to do a little,
I'm explosive.
Little phone screen.
I would be sure.
Why that one?
Cake or pie?
Oh, pie all the way. Apple crisp pie.
Mm, like that. Favorite flavor of iced tea?
Oh, the non-flavor, the original.
Mmm. Yes. It's a trick question.
It's bueno.
Every minute of every show, Adam.
This guy really knows you.
I know this is not a reason for me to go on a jag, but...
Do it.
Do you understand, at 4 out of the 5 restaurants in the Southland that I eat at now, I can only get passion fruit iced tea?
Yes.
It used to be you got iced tea, and that was brewed iced tea with lemon, and that's what you ordered. At a certain point, about 5 years ago, you got passion fruit or the regular iced tea. Mm-hmm. Now we've eliminated the thing that we actually think we're ordering. Ordering iced tea with passion fruit, and I've said it once, I'll say it again. I want to find the guy who was responsible for replacing the beverage that we liked for iced tea and replacing it with the passion fruit iced tea and not kill him. I want to hire him.
Oh, really?
I want to hire this guy because this guy can sell anything to anybody. This guy could sell toilet paper to a gorilla.
Thank you. Now I can sleep
tonight. Steve.
I know it didn't sound that good, but I don't think they would use it.
I still think they use their hand. I was going to go to an Eskimo, but it was too obvious.
Passion fruit tastes like you boiled potpourri, and yet he was able to replace the thing that we all love for the last 150 years with something that tastes like flowery ass. And a fruit that no one likes or has heard of or has ever eaten on its own. He was able to successfully knock out iced tea and replace it with passion fruit iced tea, something nobody likes. I want this guy working for me.
Let's play some games.
All right.
Steve, Adam is your idol. And now you're meeting him.
It's crazy.
And you're this close to perhaps even working for him.
Let me just tell you, man. It's awesome.
If you want to hear about iced tea, this is the place.
You know, one time he was stuck at a left turn hour before he could get flavored iced tea.
I brought that up. I don't remember ever bringing that up. Not on the air. Are you saying twice? Once on Loveline and once... Hey,
that's all right. The people in the other lane didn't know they could turn right on red. Bastards.
Steve.
Adam was yelling at them.
Are you proud of the future?
No, I am not. It's grim. It's bleak.
Okay.
Stupid parents crapping out stupid kids.
Yeah.
All right.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
What else?
Should we give Steve a try?
Damn right we should.
I hope he can do this phone screening thing.
I'm a typing machine. Come on.
It's a little...
All things that type are typing machines.
It's a little weird, I must say, because Teddy is manning the phones right now. Formerly crazy haired, give everyone the creeps Teddy, is now lovable Teddy because he got a haircut.
Yeah. The good news is you're fired.
He's been doing a great job.
Yeah. He went from loner, psychopath, killer to introvert and a sweet nerd just by going to Supercuts.
Yeah, coffee's for closers only.
He needs to now show Steve the ropes. And it's weird. It's sort of like the trophy wife is moving in and the old wife has to show her the way around the kitchen and what day the garbage man comes and all that
this
stuff.
This is how he likes to be caressed.
Weird.
It's awful.
Yes. Creepy. But, you know, Teddy's been a pro so far. And again, he's still in there. Still in the running.
So look at him go.
He won't be fired, right? He'll just move back to his old job.
If you want to be in radio, you stop caring about your fellow man right now, mister.
Tip from Bonaducci, man.
Eye of the tiger.
Yeah, if you plan on staying in radio, you should hate everybody. Not
except
only...
Here's
the beauty of radio.
See?
Here's the thing about radio. This is what I love about radio. Radio... Most businesses, you hate the competition.
Right.
You're essentially, what you are is you're a Dallas Cowboy and you hate the Washington Redskins.
Right.
You don't hate everyone on your team as well.
Right.
The beauty of radio is people in radio are so loathsome and hate so much that they not only hate the competition, they hate the show that comes in after them.
Yes.
Yeah.
On their radio station.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of radio.
That precedes them.
That is how that is how weak and catty and petty and effed up everyone in radio is. You hate everybody in radio, including yourself.
Oh, God, yes. That's almost a prerequisite.
You're number one.
Thank God. That's okay.
Who do you hate? Who's the number one radio personality you hate? You.
Right.
Be you. And then second would be whoever comes on before or after you on your own station.
Yes.
And then eventually, after about 18 people in your building, eventually get down to whoever's competing with you.
Right.
Whoever's kicking your ass in the ratings.
But hating yourself helps. A great deal.
For the record, how do you feel about the other shows on this station?
Never listen to them.
Yeah, I mean, why not?
Wow, great.
No need, they're not funny.
Just me. God love you, Steve. All right, go in there and assume the position. Don the headphones. Teddy, please, let's try to be professional about this.
Yeah.
Steve, we'll
no
go in there, we'll
please.
Check you out, we'll see how you do. Now, here's what we're doing. We're going to do a little home improvement.
Nice.
With Mr. Burcham at the helm. So,
you like Mr. Burcham?
Love Mr. Burcham. Big fan of Crank Anchors.
Shop teacher Burcham's
Kiss
coming
ass,
in here.
Kiss Rodeo.
We got some home improvements to do. 866-901-ADAM. You call up. Burcham will give you the advice. Steve will man the phones, and we'll do it next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, and Danny Bonaducci. And now, Adam's old friend, Mr. Burcham, is taking your home improvement questions. Call 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, it is. Now, your home improvement questions, 866-901-ADAM, but not answered by me.
Nope.
Oh, no. Mr. Burcham teaches... remedial wood over at Louis Pasteur Middle School out in Monrovia.
Does he like that job?
No. Well, he likes the wood, but he doesn't like the kids.
Right.
He's not a fan of the kids. As a matter of fact, I never had a shop teacher in junior high that liked the kids. They liked metal, they liked wood, they liked printing, they liked plastics. They liked all the stuff that they worked with. They just hated the kids. And every shop class would start the same for me. I'd come in and they'd show a slideshow of the county fair the year before.
Yeah.
And they'd do that thing where the guy'd go, That's Steve Miller. Steve over here made a kayak. He's a 16th semester woodworking or 16th semester plastic student. And I think to myself, ooh, I'm going to make a kayak. And one day they're going to be showing my kayak in the form of a slide. And my teacher is going to be beaming about it, except for you never get that far because you don't start off with a kayak. You start off with the simulated marble pen set that doesn't work out. Eventually you get frustrated and lightheaded from the fumes. And that's about it. Well, and you realize the teachers were all a-holes. Every shop teacher I had at Walter Reed Junior High was a total a-hole.
Well, Mr. Burcham is no exception, but we have phone screener candidate Steve Yoon screening. And listen, call up at 866-901-ADAM because I want there to be a lot of calls so we can really see whether Steve can do this job.
All right. Well, let's get started. I'll get Burcham.
He's a blur.
Here to answer your home improvement questions, Louis Pasteur Middle School woodshop teacher, Mr. Burcham.
Man. All right, let's get this abortion started.
Good morning, Mr. Burcham.
Good morning.
Wow, you're still here, dude? Jeez, it's been 3 weeks. All right, here we go, Gary.
Hello?
Gary.
That's me.
Yeah, it's nice.
What?
Parents named you after a puss. Gary the puss.
Mr. Burcham, how do you get pigeons off?
You better hope your kid goes gay with a name like Gary. That's a step up. Gary. Can you imagine a battleship being named Gary?
What's wrong with Gary, Mr. Burcham?
USS Gary?
Nothing. You like pusses.
Named Gary, oh, I don't glitter.
Gary?
Yeah?
What do you got?
Pigeons. How the hell do you get rid of them?
Oh, that's a good question.
You got to move out of your brownstone in New York. Where are you calling from? Buena Park?
That's right.
They don't have pigeons in Buena Park.
Well, I do.
You do? And what?
For the love of Christ.
You know, Gary, one letter away from gay. One letter.
Which one, Mr. Burcham?
Listen, I ain't no teacher. I mean, I teach shop.
You are.
Right.
Well, that's because I'm a journeyman in the art of woodworking. I don't have a credential. I'm not going to pick out which letter.
Going with the Y, sir.
Going with the Y.
Do you want to help him with the pigeons, or that's not your thing?
The guy dropped an S-bomb on my radio show.
You're right.
Yeah?
Put a bunch of spikes up.
Let me yell at him.
Spikes and nets.
Hey, Gary?
Yes, sir.
You know what?
What?
I hope, here's what you need to do. Train Falcon, all right? You understand?
I understand.
Train Falcon. Falconry. Lost art in Buena Park.
Mm-hmm.
You get yourself a falcon, you understand?
Stuff,
falcon keeps the pigeons cleared and then, God willing, one day turns on its owner. Your head full of talent and beak and you can't run fast enough, my friend. You know what I mean? You want to talk about animals going sick on their owners? Every once in a while you hear about some big cat that goes nuts on its gay trainer, or once in a while a pit bull bites its owner, but when a falcon goes south on your head, you're in for a world of hurt,
son. Nothing you can do.
You got a school of falcons? A flock of falcons? What the hell's more than one falcon called? As a matter of fact, there's no name for it. There's never been more than one falcon hanging out.
I think it's a flock.
Flock of falcon? That band from the 80s, yeah.
Well, let's maybe help.
Your falcon goes south on your head? Your falcon freaks on your head? That's bad times right there.
Their feet are called talons, sir?
That's right.
Wow.
You can't run fast enough.
I want to make a talon out of wood.
Who do you want to talk to, T?
Well, let's talk to line 8.
Eight, let's see. Oh, yeah. Shaped like two of your favorite bagels put together. Or is it yarmulkes? I can't remember. What is an 8 to a Jew? Is that 2 bagels or 2 yarmulkes?
Well, it's important in that we have 8 candles on our menorah.
Or the shape of Nana. Busty with a big hiney. Hey, I like my ladies that way.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. Mrs. Burcham's a load.
She's a bigger woman.
I like it that way. Hey, right?
Yes, sir.
It's your question.
Stripper pole, 15-foot cathedral ceiling.
Hmm.
What do I do?
Wow. At a certain point, it becomes a fireman's pole. Once a stripper pole exceeds 14 feet, it's now a fire station. You take a strip club, you get a high pole. At a certain point, you got to hang a flag on it or have a guy with suspenders come sliding down it. Otherwise, it's no. You're going to kill a stripper, by the way. I've seen good strippers go down that way.
Yeah?
I've seen a good stripper go down. Matter of fact, I've seen a great stripper go down, sir.
Lost a lot of strippers out there. Don't make fun of that, Bonaducci. You left a lot of good ones behind.
It's
Scores and Glitters and Bob's Classy Lady out of Van Nuys. Spearmint Rhino left a lot of good strippers behind.
Please don't upset Mr. Burcham. You know he saw action.
I know. I was just trying to suck up to the teacher.
Yeah. Well, you were playing a bass guitar with no strings, Bonaducci. I was knee-deep in a rice paddy on the Mekong Delta. You understand, son?
You didn't play the piano, but you had piano wire, didn't you, sir?
That's right. See? I did my killing. Swooped in like the aforementioned Falcon.
See how I got him
like
there?
Like a thief in the night.
You suck. He likes me now.
Well, you were...
he likes me.
Air singing with a dude that had a chick's haircut. I was in Da Nang.
You were in Air America, weren't you, sir?
That's right. Hey, Ray?
Yeah.
What's going on? Oh, stripper pole. That's right. 15-foot high ceiling.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You want to know how to anchor it?
I want to know how to anchor it and how to get Teresa in some panties and bra to come over and help me.
Mm-hmm. Mm,
I think, Mr. Burcham, you can help him on both fronts.
Well, here's how you get Teresa anywhere. Get some fishing wire and a bottle of Jameson's.
It's actually very effective.
Tie the string around the bottle of Jameson's, put it down the hall, and you just keep dragging it.
How does it not break?
You just keep it a couple feet in front of T, and you lead her all the way across town and right in your cathedral. Your sex cathedral.
Pretty good.
Yeah. As far as the stripper pole goes, again, that's too dangerous. Two stories, 15 foot high. She's up there. She's got her legs wrapped around the thing. All of a sudden, the X kicks in. Pow, legs go akimbo. She slides down, smash your head. You got a situation on your hands, my friend. Hey, Ray.
Yeah.
Where are you living, by the way?
Vegas, baby.
And what kind of place you living in where you got that kind of height on the ceiling?
Two-story house. They're building them with big cathedrals out here now.
Mm-hmm. Well, you put the stripper pole in the bedroom. It has 8-foot ceiling, yeah?
Yeah, that's true.
All right, good times. You got anyone to climb it?
I'm hoping Teresa come over.
All right, I got that joke, all right.
I know a 6-foot stripper named Wendy.
John? Is that the one you beat up in Arizona?
His name was Darius K. Barney. Never forget it. Tattooed on my brain.
What was his name?
Darius Barney.
Doris?
Darius.
Darius Barney.
Darius K. Barney.
Hi, my name is Tyrone Washington.
Chris? John?
Yes, Mr. Burcham.
Punch up. What do you got for me?
Well, first of all, thanks for your service.
Some gave all. Yeah.
Okay. I got a very big, heavy picture frame. I want to hang it on a river rock over my fireplace.
Hanging a picture on river rock. Did you get the picture framed?
Yeah, it's a big, heavy picture, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What's it of? Tease V? Picture that baby weigh at least 10 pounds.
No, it's a kind of a landscape kind of thing, northwest landscape.
Fruity.
It's not really I didn't think that was important what was in the picture. It's just the weight of the picture hanging it on that river rock.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fake river rock, and that was my question, Mr. Bertram. Sorry.
Did you say it's real or fake river rock?
That fake river rock with the pumice and the concrete.
Yeah. And you want to know how to tap into that?
Yeah.
And you got a roto hammer, son?
Yeah.
You do?
No, I lied.
I know.
Oh.
Believe me, I can tell by the sound of your voice you're not rocking a roto hammer. You know what a roto hammer is?
No.
Oh.
Roto hammer's a drill that hammers. It's a hammer drill. Turns and hammers. Goes through masonry like butter. Go ahead and get a masonry bit and drill into it. But why don't you drill into the mortar that's in between the fake river rocks? And by the way, if you can't afford river rocks, what can you afford? You know what I'm saying?
Right. A big picture, sir.
It's a rock that's in a river, for the love of Christ.
That's a good point.
What is it? Yeah, now listen. Drill a hole into the masonry, all right?
Okay.
Into the joint, into the masonry joint, all right?
Yeah.
Use a screw called a TAPCON screw. You ever heard of that, son?
I'm going to say no again.
TAPCON screw is a blue screw. You can get it at Home Depot or any home improvement center and put that into it. That'll hold it. So you got TAPCON, you have masonry bit, you have mortar, all right?
Got it.
My good times.
Thank you, Mr. Burcham.
Yeah.
to carry your leg.
Yeah. By the way, what year is this guy calling from with the majestic nature scene and the River Rock? Doesn't sound like he's shooting a porn from the 70s.
I was going to say, I'd
73.
Just a little bit gay for me on my fake River Rock, a landscape.
And I'm concerned about his safety. And I know, Mr. Bertram, that's probably important to you, what with goggles and knee pads and such.
Yeah, don't use them.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. Actually, knee pads only used for one thing. T, I got an extra set in the truck, won't you?
I was afraid of that.
Put those on. Ken? Question.
Mr. Bertram, how you doing?
Yeah.
Listen, here's what I got going. I've got some glass tile, 4-inch. Can I cut that with a standard ceramic wet saw?
Mm-hmm.
Am I going to be successful in cutting these 3-inch thick, 4-inch tiles?
Mm, good question. Wet saw, good name for T's V, too, by the way. Wet saw is that tile saw you use. Got a diamond blade, although the blade, you can't tell it has diamonds on. It just looks like a steel blade, and then you fire up a little pump, and it squirts water on the thing, and you push the thing through the thing. I don't know what else you would cut that with if not the diamond blade and the wet saw. So, Kent?
Yep.
Here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to say fire up that wet saw and push that first glass tile through it. Now, if it goes sailing through the air in your forehead, that's a good indicator that it's not meant to be cut by the wet saw diamond blade. You understand, son?
Yeah, I got that, Mr.
So if you're holding your forehead, bleeding to death, writhing in pain and rolling around your basement floor, don't put the next tile through it, all right?
Yeah, that sounds like some good information.
And when the paramedics show up, first words out of your mouth is, Bertram didn't tell me to do this.
Right.
As a matter of fact, those may in fact be the last words. All right, Ken.
All right, we'll give that first one a go, see how it goes.
Go, good times, Godspeed. Let's see, new basement. Well, let's see. Steve?
Yeah.
Question.
Yeah, I want to put a basement in. I want to know how much work that's actually going to take. And
Oh, hell, you can do that in an afternoon with a teaspoon, you moron! Are you high, son?
Yeah.
And by the way, I knew it. I'd like to congratulate you on being the caller who spit out the most verbiage without dropping an S-bomb this morning. You said five full words without dropping an F or S-bomb. We're going to send you out a windbreaker. You want to dig a basement?
Yeah, we're thinking about remodeling the whole house and basically put a basement in, going to have a movie theater down there.
Yeah, movie theater or hydroponic pot farm, Cheech?
I was thinking hide the body, sir.
Well, you'll be the first one to get the first doobie.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. You are going to be growing weed in said basement, are you not, Steve?
No.
You're going to put a movie?
I want to have a game room. Yeah. Put the movie theater down there. I got some movie theater seats that
So you want to dig a basement without moving the house?
No, we're going to, going to have to take the whole house and remodel it. It's quite a bit of an older house, but...
Yeah, but you're going to move the house?
No, not going to move the house.
Right, so you want to dig a basement without moving the house?
Correct.
Didn't I say that an hour and 45 minutes ago?
What I heard, sir.
Steve, do you have any skills at all?
Yeah, sorry, sir.
Which ones? You can operate a bung with both hands?
Hmm? I work with fiber optics.
Oh. I don't know what that is.
That's that cable they put in your keister to see if you have colon cancer.
You've been putting cable up my keister, son?
Not me, sir.
All right. Well, listen, Steve, it can be done, but it can be done by a professional, and that ain't you. You understand?
Right.
So go hire a contractor, let him rip you off and have sex with your daughter, and 3 years from now and five times the budget he originally quoted you, you'll have half a basement. That's how it works.
You're the best, sir.
So I didn't think it was real. All right, one more. General scaffolding question. Talcan? Talcan? What the hell's your name?
Yeah, Talcan.
Huh.
What's up, Bertram?
Everyone's a comedian. What's the question?
Oh, the question is, I'm trying to build a meth lab, and I was wanting to know if you know how to do that, Mr. Bertram.
Listen, I don't have time for you pusses calling me in. Real people out here with real questions. Chris?
Call me later.
That's right. Call Bonaducci on the hotline later. Chris, last question.
Yes, sir.
Give it to me.
Got an older house. Got sheetrock with gunite over and a skim coat of plaster on top of that.
Mm.
And I've got holes where they had an intercom system. I got one of these holes in every single room. How do I patch it, Mr. Bertram?
You ladies know what gunite is?
I don't.
Gunite, lightweight concrete, stuff you spray on to make a pool. Once in a while, you see it sprayed on a hillside.
Okay.
Yeah, you ever drive by that hillside that looked like a million seagulls took a crap on it?
The Getty Center, sir.
Yeah, and you go, what the hell is that? That's gunite.
Do you like going to the Getty Center Museum, Mr. Bertram?
Hell no! Some kind of homo convention up there, staring at a bunch of orbs, hanging on what's called your modern art.
You don't like modern art?
It ain't art! Just some guy who's mad at his stepdad for molesting him decided to take it out on some canvas in my eyeballs. Don't got time for that.
What kind of art do you like?
See, real art.
Like what?
Pictures of guys on horses. That's art. Cowboys on horses. Napoleon on horses.
Elvis.
Yeah.
Elvis on horses.
The part where even the horse looks mad.
Right.
That kind of art. Guys on horses art.
All right.
Not a bunch of guys that took a bunch of crap and strapped it together and calling it, I'm mad at daddy. Not interested in that.
Every one of Jackson Pollock's paintings.
That's right. Where was I? Chris?
Yes, sir.
Weird walls. You know what's funny? I was in a house the other day, had the intercom in it. The house was 1,800 square foot. Is there a place in that goddamn house that this wouldn't work? Hey, Mom! Come here! I'm hungry! That's your intercom when you live in a small house. Chris?
Yes, sir.
How big's that house?
1,900 square feet.
1,900 square feet. Do you need an intercom?
No, sir. That's why I want to patch the hole.
Don't backtalk me, son!
Nah.
All right, so you want to patch the hole. And it's about, what, inch and a half thick?
It goes all the way through to the other side of the wall.
No S. What? All the way through? All right, listen, here's the deal. Just patch it with drywall. Cut it back half on the studs. Studs are 16 on center. Cut half on the studs and patch in a piece of drywall. Then get some mesh tape. Then get some topping, some joint compound, and finish it off. Sand it. And remember, when you sand something, never wear a mask. And smoke while you're sanding. And then when you prime and paint, make sure the doors are shut. There's a hibachi fired up in the room. And you put a towel under the door so none of the vapors leak out and catch a nice contact eye. All right, that's it. We're moving on.
By the way, you can also just get...
That was Mr. Burchos, woodshop teacher. Veteran. American.
Moving on to the ending, Ducci.
My apologies, sir.
Yeah, what was your addendum?
I was just going to say for that, all that woodworking and patching and stuff, couldn't he just buy the fronts of an intercom system and screw it on and make it look like an intercom?
Hmm. No.
Okay, sir.
Mr. Bertram, thank you for joining us and helping our callers today.
Yeah. Good times.
Tell Adam to come back so we can discuss the phone screener,
yeah.
Steve.
Yeah, I'll get him. See you at the synagogue, baby.
See you on Yom Kippur.
Mm-hmm.
On Yom Kippur. The High Holy Day.
Yeah, I'll have some. All right. Good times. Be back.
Bye, Mr. Bertram.
Him. Oh, him. Phone screener Steve. What do you guys think?
Phenomenal.
Dude.
Phenomenal?
Like he'd been here for a year.
I was looking at our phone screen the entire time. He was fast. His typing was impeccable. His spelling was perfect. He had every name correct. He never confused Mr. Bertram.
I actually forgot he was here. Because everything ran like the show should run.
Phenomenal.
Well, that's bad.
I mean, you forgot. This is first time ever doing this, ever.
I know.
He's handling nine phone lines.
I was in the next room, so I just...
That's why I'm reporting to you. He was handling nine phone lines like he had been doing it his whole life.
Well, he cleared the first hurdle. The second hurdle is, will he work for $4.22 an hour?
$8.25.
We need to take ourselves a break. It's Monday. It's Music Monday. The criteria is songs you do and don't want to work out to. Again, you got the iPod on, you hit the shuffle, you're getting into the zone, you're pounding away on that heavy bag, the bell rings, 30 seconds left in the round, it's time to kick it into fifth gear. What song do you want to come up on that iPod shuffle, and what song don't you want? What song is going to kill your momentum? We'll do our best and our worst next.
Friday on the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaduce, and Teresa Strasser. This time, we're doing the best and the worst workout songs. What do you listen to get fired up? Call 866-901-ADAM. Music Monday brought to you by Sounds of Hornitos Tequila, alerting you to prepare for this year's live all-summer Battle of the Bands. And Hornitos Tequila reminds you to drink smart. Call 866-901-ADAM. Music Monday on the Adam Carolla Show.
You know, there's technology you use and technology you don't use, and unfortunately you have no idea when you're buying it whether it's going to fall into the I will use this or I will never use it technology. As you know, the TiVo, used the bejesus out of that baby. Second one, iPod. And yeah, for working out, I'm telling you, it can be the difference between finishing strong and not finishing at all.
Absolutely.
And music is such a motivator. It's true. Amazing. And if you don't believe me, watch some workout montage, whether it's Rocky or your favorite sports movie, minus the music.
Well, the power of music just in general. Remember, I told you about that girl who all of a sudden just got up because she hated that song and we were doing it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Remember that?
Yeah.
She just got up and said, I hate this song.
Oh, while you were doing it.
Yeah, we're actually physically not talking about doing it, not getting to doing it, but doing it.
Right.
And she got up and changed the song.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad you've processed and moved on.
I am not, and we still fight about that.
That's well behind him in his order for you.
I won't give her name out, but the bitch's name is Amy. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm in initials.
All right, well, it is Music Monday, and watch the snort, Teresa. Sorry.
That was not me.
I know your snort from Danny's snort, believe you me. What are you still beaked up on the nose candy?
Yeah,
whatever
I've been meaning to deal with it.
Yeah, if you didn't hear that story from earlier.
I've never even seen cocaine.
I don't remember all the story, but evidently when T was in high school, she moved to Pittsburgh to do drugs for a couple of months. That's all I remember from the story.
That's the whole, yeah.
All right, so Music Monday, good songs, bad songs, iPod, 30 seconds left. Trying to shift into overdrive, beating the crap out of that heavy bag. This is a good one. This is what you should hope comes up. Starts a little slow. A little band called the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones. Iggy Barrett, lead singer. Good band, but even better guy.
Great guy.
Dickie's just a great guy. Always was.
He's not dead. He works for Kimmel.
A lot of people say that's the same as... No. Here's where it kicks in.
Stupid question. Was this song composed for use on this show?
No, this song is a hit from 1993. It got to number 19 on the charts. I remember seeing this video on MTV from my crappy rent-controlled Santa Monica apartment I lived with my roommate who didn't know she was a lesbian yet. Bad times. Bad times.
I could see this being on a workout mix.
Yeah, it just makes you want to... Makes me want to punch something. I don't know why. All right. So this is, and again, this songs may motivate you, but it's more about us. Right. Whatever motivates me may not motivate Teresa or Danny, right. And that's cool unless yours is different than what would motivate mine, and then I'll make fun of it. But let's go to one I think we could all agree you would not want to come up on the shuffle if you were trying to hit that heavy bag. Book of Love.
What artist is this? Using the term loosely.
This is
Toto.
Mister.
Oh.
As opposed to the bar Port-Op Bill was at last night, Mister Fister.
And his favorite band from the '80s.
Spelled with Fister. Spelled with a PH, though, so it was tasteful. Yeah.
He also sometimes goes to Mister Sister for Drag Night.
Woo! Where do we get that smart cocktail? Mr. Fister. All right. Good times. All right, no one wants to hear Mr. Mister singing about the Book of Love opening up and letting you in again. But here's a song. This is the house that funk goes. Recommended by my wife. Now, normally I tune out when she opens her mouth, but this one I tuned in long enough to hear it. This is Groove Armada. Don't
be looking at me like
that.
Who is it?
My name is Grandma. That's the name of the band. Yeah. It'll get into it. You'll know what it is in a second. Kick in a second.
She's talking about the ass and teeth.
Shaking that ass.
I see you, baby.
Shaking that ass.
I
don't know.
I like it.
I shouldn't have listened to my wife. But yeah, this part I could do. Maybe the hip-hop step class or something like that.
Yeah, which are fun, by the way.
Yeah, not maybe spinning or something. Yeah. Not maybe not hitting the heavy bag, but either way.
Yeah, the heavy bag threw me a curveball, boss.
Yeah, I gotta say.
This is what you woke me up for.
I threw myself a curveball with that one. But, yeah, some sort of aerobic class. All right, let's go to a now horrible, horrible song to work out to. Bee Gees. Number 6 on the charts.
I started a joke.
Oh.
Bitch started the whole world crying.
No, I get hit hard in this.
I don't understand. The joke made people cry.
But I didn't see.
Because he didn't see?
Didn't see.
What
that
didn't he see?
But of course, the joke was on me.
Oh. T.
Yeah.
I can tell by the look on your face you never heard this song, right?
I have not heard this. But I wouldn't even do abs to this.
Listen to what happened when I started to cry, though.
I'm not even doing my after stretch to this.
Look at that. You said to cry and the whole world laughed.
It's confusing.
People forget about the pre-disco Bee Gees.
Yeah, this has like a kind of a doo-wop-y sound.
They were very folksy. They were not disco-y at all.
You should think about getting a little doo-wop-y. With this wop right here.
I'm surrounded by doo-wops.
Do some woppies?
I love you all.
Yeah. Bad, bad song to work out to. I'd just break down in a heap and start weeping. I'd lose weight. It'd be tears.
Yeah.
Water weight.
The joke's on you.
Yeah. All right. So, good songs, bad songs.
I finally died.
He died.
What?
He finally died. He's been waiting to die for a long time.
Sweet relief.
The whole world stopped living then.
All right, T, why don't you give us a taste of a good workout song?
Well, this one's been on my workout mix since it came out. It's a constant. It never comes off my workout playlist. It starts out a little slow. It will pick up. This song is about someone who did her wrong, but she's not mad. She's happy. She wants to thank him for doing her wrong because it's made her stronger.
You put me through. Waiting at this spot kicks in. But in the end, I want to thank you.
Dave Navarro on guitar. Dave is on his feet.
Okay.
I'm telling you, if you're running on a treadmill and you want to go to 8, you will do it with this song.
I just showed a picture of a guy I beat up. On the TV to say.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Shapiro.
Oh.
Plus, I don't know about you guys, but my workouts are motivated by, you gotta get your revenge body, especially for me later, you know?
Yeah, your trips to the mailbox are motivated by anger.
It's true.
You have no, your showers are motivated by anger.
A lot of stuff is motivated by trying to.
You making a Jell-O mold
that is
motivated.
I make a Jell-O to prove to my stepmother that I'm not fat.
All right, Danny, what do you got in the good workout department?
All right, I don't think I can go wrong with this one. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you...
Little Jump.
There's two reasons why this is a good workout song. Either for running on the treadmill or hitting the heavy bag.
Mm-hmm.
David Lee Roth, for a while, had one of the best bodies I ever saw.
Yeah, I was hot for him, too.
And I hate him. And for you to have a good enough body for me to stand up and recognize it when I hate your guts and want you to die, you got to be in great shape.
And I've said
this goes
it.
On...
Yeah, the greatest compliment Bonaducci could ever pay you is wanting you to die.
Yeah, it's true.
That's right. That's how you know you've arrived.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I remember a few weeks after Bonaducci started over here, he approached me in the parking lot, wished that I would die. Yep. And I said, thanks, man. And we hugged out.
It's exactly true. And then I said it on some guy's radio show. They said, how do you feel about Corolla? I said, I wish the guy died.
That's when I knew I arrived.
There was a compliment attached to the end of that, but that's what I said.
All right, this is...
Because he's flying in the air, man.
I like the range. I like the range. I like the yin and the yang of both your selections. I have more surprises on the way. We all have our number one in the good and in the bad department, and we will play that. Also, we have yours, by the way. We got a full bank of yours as well, so we'll get to those next on Music Monday.
Music Monday on the Adam Carolla Show, the best and the worst songs to work out to, brought to you by Sauza Hornitos Tequila, alerting you to prepare for this year's live all-summer Battle of the Bands. Hornitos Tequila reminds you to drink smart. Got a good song that fires you up to work out? Call 866-901-ADAM. And back to Adam, Danny, and Teresa on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah, we got yours and we got ours now. I'll do a good one. Danny and T have their bad one and their good one. I got a couple of goods and a bad, but first, good. Joe Jackson. He used to be really good when he was angry.
Yeah.
Then he got nice at a certain point.
Which Jackson hit Daryl Hannah?
Jackson Brown.
That's okay. Jackson Brown.
Oh, it's Michael Jackson.
It's a really good song called I'm the Man.
Yeah. Good call.
Kind of an Elvis Costello sound.
Yeah, I guess everything did in 1980.
Yeah.
Now, the thing I love about this song is it kicks into a gear at the end that makes you just want to go nuts. You can't punch something to this. You can't make a fist. The guy screaming, I'm the man, which is a nice thing for, well, I don't know about you, T.
Yeah, I mean, I like to think I'm the man.
All right, what do you got?
Okay, this is my bad song.
Mm-hmm. Amazing Grace on the hornpipes.
It's a hymn that would be played if, God forbid, a fireman or a policeman was killed in the line of duty.
Yeah.
It's not good on the elliptical.
No. And yeah, it's horrible.
It's horrible anywhere.
This always feels like a back east thing, but would they do it out here?
I thought the same thing, because I remember when I lived in New York, you always heard this at firemen's funerals. I think it's everywhere.
Yeah, I think it is too.
It's part of the honor guard.
It's a lot of funerals in Boston, period.
There's
a lot of this.
But
is
I think it is out west.
I think so.
And it's cops and firemen?
Yeah. Cops and firemen, but
why would they do that
firemen?
To a cop? Guy goes out in the line of duty protecting me, and they play bagpipes.
Yeah, I don't know. And then, especially, like, I understand when every fireman, every cop was Irish or Scottish or whatever-ish, but we ain't that anymore. Seems like we should replace it with something. This is what they play when a cop dies out here in Los Angeles. And you're like, everyone's like, yeah, this is really sad. Yeah, I'm going to miss Lieutenant Hernandez. Say, can I have another cold one? Thanks, bro.
Quinceañera or a funeral?
How's Ozzy doing with that chimichurri sauce? Got that about right? This is what we play out here.
I'm a man.
Not all of our finest and bravest are Latin.
Yeah. They don't do the 21-gun salute. They do the call from the lunch truck.
That's who caters the funeral?
Yeah. Come on, Bri, play the lunch truck.
There we go.
21 times. Everyone salivate. I'm so Pavlovian. I want a breakfast burrito when I hear that.
With you.
I could be at a buffet stuffing with my face stuffed, and if I heard that, I'd be like, let's get something to eat. That would be the call.
Trucks. Love those trucks.
Officer Hernandez was a brave member, proud member of this department. He was one of LA's finest. Anyone want to, you need chimichurri? What do you need? You good?
Good.
He was an officer that put himself in harm's way time and time again. Phil, put down the Tecate and tell him finish eulogizing Officer Hernandez, please. Thank you. Let's hear another one of the 21 Roach Coach salutes. He left behind a wife and 86 kids. He'll be missed. I was proud to call him partner. I was proud to call him Mijo. Mijo!
Now, is there a funereal Mijo?
Yeah, okay, listen, we got a bottomless horchata fountain out here in the lobby. If you guys want to help yourself some refreshments, we got churros and horchata out there for the grieving. I'm going to beat the lunch truck pulling myself together. I'm going to be alone with my thoughts. All right. Where the hell were we?
Good song. Or do you want to hear Danny's bad song?
Yes. Danny's bad song.
I think this song speaks for itself. You're especially hitting the heavy bag with real aggression, like you really mean business, and then this happens to you. Sitting on the dock of the bay. All of a sudden, you want to say you're sorry to the bag. I thought, dude, there's nothing to fight about. Let's just chill.
This is one of those songs. It's always eerie to me. Otis Redding was dead by the time this song charted.
Is that true?
Yeah. If memory serves,
and
Paul Bryan,
does.
Hop on the magical box that shows porn.
Don't and, do it. Just agree that he's right. You're right.
I'm pretty sure. I like to check. I'm pretty sure Otis Redding died before this song came out or before this song became a hit. So it's weird when you're most popular, the thing you're known most for is
not dying, certainly.
Yes.
I didn't even know the guy was dead.
The magic box they provide us with at the station isn't quite so magic. I'm playing music out of it now, so there'll be no research.
I'm on the box.
Well, we'll give you a little Otis Redding.
Oh, that's going to turn the favor.
A little timely Otis Redding update, but first,
yes,
we'll
released posthumously in 1968.
Nicely done, Mr. Graw.
Yeah, sad.
Yeah, I just couldn't bang around to this tune. I couldn't put all my guts into it.
No.
You just want to go, you know, open a beer with a lime in it and on a beach somewhere and just go, nothing's that important, Mio.
Well, here's another song you couldn't smack a heavy bag to or ride an exocycle to.
Uh-oh. Feels sad.
This is Bread. I'm going to beat the crap out of the guy in the band who wanted to name the band Bread.
But could you do it to this song?
I would start and then lose momentum and start punching myself in the ears. It's Bread.
The words will never show.
You know, the other Bread song about him finding the diary underneath a tree? That could possibly be worse than this Bread song. Oh, no, it would just be a tie. You couldn't do worse than this.
This is one of the... I hope this song is as old as I think it is. This is one of the songs, first songs I've had sex to.
1971.
Oh, good.
Wow.
No, I was only 11, so it was an older song. I wasn't that young.
Well, could have been playing a few years after it charted.
I think it was an 8-track. I think the girl had the 8-track. And the rash.
Mine was Wild World. Cat Stevens.
It's a different time.
Wow, different time. Now I do it to 50 Cent, and that's what I pay.
Hey, T.
Yeah?
Give us Give us your good, please.
Okay, before you play this, Brian, take a moment. Because I need to sell this. You guys may disagree.
I'm with you.
I feel that when this composer finished with this song, he had himself a cigarette and he said, "Good day, sir. There will never be a more inspiring song."
Good day, sir.
About running. I'm done. This thing's going to win me an Oscar.
Chariots of Fire.
I know you have to run in slow motion. I know that's a problem.
Why don't we just play the theme from Baywatch and be done with it?
But this is a good song. It's inspiring.
It's good. You know what the problem is for me? Too many parodies done about it over the years.
True.
I picture a guy, Eddie Murphy in a fat suit running in slow motion now. With the huge triple S boobs bouncing around. Yeah.
This song was on the charts for something like 5 months.
Yeah, but I don't know why in the image of people running in this song, I don't know why it worked, but yes, I'm with you. It makes you want to run on the beach. All right, Bonaducci, what do you got?
All right, now let me give us your number one. I was thinking about Music Monday when this song came on, because I was thinking about 50 Cent songs, because I listened to a lot of that in rehab. That's what the kid next to me had. And I really, really liked him. I couldn't remember any of the names. But then you hadn't said Heavy Bank. You had said Treadmill.
So what
would you really kick it up on?
Yeah, you're right.
And I was thinking about it, and this song happened to come on the radio in Mexico, in Tijuana.
A little vintage Michael Jackson for you.
That's what it's about. He doesn't say it right now. Let me take it to the max. I want to love you. Pretty young thing. That's why I'm cranking it up. Because I'm 47. Amy's 25. She keeps having pool parties in my apartment with all her other 25-year-old friends in little bikinis.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And if Amy happens to hit the dirt, I got a couple of numbers. So that's why I'm on the treadmill. Because I want to love you, pretty young thing. And I don't want to take off my shirt and have you go, ew, God.
It's not a good Heavy Bag song, but it's a good treadmill song. And that was the original sign.
Because I'm actually, when I am running, I am chasing tail, even in the gym.
Yeah. Good angle.
That's the only reason I'm in the gym.
So you're saying tail is the proverbial carrot that hangs in front of you?
Yeah.
Yes. If you put a girl's ass on a stick in front of my face, I would run after it forever.
Ass on a stick to another bar that Bill went to.
It's next door to Mr. Fister.
Mr. Fister, ass on a stick. Actually, there's an adjoining wall. They're thinking about putting a door through there.
Inside the glory hole.
Let me give my Mr. Fister horrible name for a bar. All right, let me give you. I like this song. Oh, what happened to Michael Jackson? Let me give you my number one workout song. This is also the song I want to play every time I walk onto stage or anywhere. Remember? Remember people used to have songs?
Yeah.
When you walked out on stage, that was your song?
Sure.
This is the song I would like when I walk from the hallway into the kitchen.
You know what sucks? I have one and I hate it.
Oh, you got the party for that, right?
I walk out and they play that.
Plus, he just keeps saying, gotta get it on 1,000 times in this song. This year, you hear me coming up the driveway. And, and then the door opens up and I just walk through it.
Yeah, I can bang around this totally.
I wonder who's on the phone. That should be everyone's ringtone for when you call. Get it on in the morning now. Too bad it would be impossible to download this as a ringtone because it's 95 years old.
It's only 38 years old. Come on. Sorry.
It's younger than me.
It's a good song.
Yep, so you know I was arriving. You'd hear a guy yell, get it on in the morning now, and then you'd hear this.
And no matter where you were, curtains would put you go up so Adam could walk across through them.
Then I would stop and have a guy remove my hat and cape.
Yeah.
And that's how you know the party officially started. All right. There you go. My number one workout song. Let's quickly see if we can push through a few of yours. What the hell did I do with that sheet that had all of them? I think we have number one, right? We have line one. Ken?
Hey, Adam.
Ken, what's happening? Ken?
Hey, Danny. Teresa.
Wow.
Hi.
I got a great, great song that has actually worked for me many times, hitting that the last stretch on the treadmill or last few minutes on the bag. It's Motley Crue's Kickstart My Heart.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it starts off with just a revving of like an engine.
Mm-hmm.
It just goes right into it, and it's just... pushes you right there to the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
For some reason, I feel like it was in an 80s movie working out, though.
It's in a montage of somebody getting ready.
All right. You want to do...
I like it.
Let's see. Let's go to...
Sometimes when you hit the bag, or maybe every time, because I know I do, and I don't think it's just a me thing, do you hit to the beat, or do you hit the way you hit?
No, I would hit to the beat.
To the beat, yeah.
I would eventually start doing anything to the beat if you put the beat
behind
me. Hey, Michael?
Mm-hmm. Michael, roll your boat ashore to the phone, baby.
Let's see. Try it again. Michael? All right. Michael's not there. Let's go to line four.
Where's Yoon when you need him?
Speak to, let's see. All right. Nick?
Yo.
What do you got?
Bonaducci, I love you, man. Next time in Vegas, it's on me.
Done.
I will find you.
I'll
take you dirt bike riding. How's that?
Okay, cool. And I'll take you to the bunny ranch because I have a tail pass?
Nice.
I have a booty pass, dude.
They're very creative over there.
I race dirt bikes, and before I go to the line, I like to do a couple bong loads and throw in some Rob Zombie.
Always smart to do drugs before you get on a dirt bike.
That's what I say.
Yeah, you know, Adam. You
I got to remember a story from not long ago. Don't get on the bike, Adam.
I'd be frightened, though. Like, I think the heavy bag was going to jump down and beat the crap out of me.
No arms?
Yeah. Yeah, it's too surreal for me. All right, let's do one more. Let's see.
The truth is, I don't really want to be distracted by the song that's playing. I want it to motivate me, but I don't want to think about it.
Let's go to line 8. Lighten things up a little. Mike?
Yo, I'm here.
What do you got for us, brother?
You want good or bad? Good, I say Mortal Kombat theme song.
Mm-hmm. Bad.
So you're a nerd.
Gonna Make You Sweat by CNC Music Factory.
Nice. Mm.
Yeah, that just kind of reminds me of my mom and all my fat friends trying to do jazzercise.
Yeah, it's also effed out in terms of parody, too. It's been used in every movie since it came out.
That guy was shredded. The guy in the
It was Mark. Wasn't that Mark Wahlberg?
No. It was the black Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah.
It's just horrible.
The Funky Bunch?
Yeah.
No, Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch or Marky Mark.
Oh, this is CNC Music Factory. Got it.
Good times.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's not... I'm with you. It's parodied out, and it makes me think about them.
Yeah,
but in the other respect, that guy was just not an ounce of fat on him.
No. And then the chick was hot, too, but I don't think she was the one who did the singing.
Yeah, that's right. They had one hot chick, and then there was a hot chick in the background doing the singing. She was a bigger girl.
Was she a great big fat girl?
Yes. Look. The lesson is, whenever you see a really hot-looking chick doing something, there's a fat chick behind the curtain doing it.
The more you know.
I'm going to tell my kids that.
Actually, sometimes the night starts off with me thinking a really hot chick's going to do it, and it ends up with a really big fat chick doing it.
Behind the curtain.
Hilarious.
Leave a hole in it.
Anywhere she'll fit.
Oh, you making fun of Teresa?
Play the news theme song.
All right. We need to take ourselves a break. Ozzy's got himself a movie review. He's coming in here in one second. Also, T's got the news coming up as well. I think we'll do Ozzy's going to review The Simpsons, then we'll do the news. Oh, Prisoner David's still going to be on the show. Calling from, I'm not sure what prison he's in. I don't know if they tell us, but
he
either way,
quiet.
He's going to be there for a long time. We'll talk to him as well. All that coming up next.
Leave the gun. Take the cannoli.
If you said The Godfather...
Leave the gun. Take the cannoli.
You're correct. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Oswaldo, my dear, dear friend of, probably 18 years now.
Wow.
There is that thing where you say 15 years for 3 years.
Right.
Yeah.
And eventually you realize, well, if I've been saying we've been friends for 15 years for 3 years, that must make it closer to 20 than 15. Yes, Ozzy and I met many years ago after he got into a fight with surprise, surprise, Ray, and helped me build the gym in Pasadena that I later on trained Jimmy Kimmel in, and that's what got me into show business. Ozzy also dropped off about 30 pounds of flap steak at my house on Friday night after the car wash / barbecue
they
had over at Spearmint Rhino. So,
you enjoy?
Yes. Ate that. I did that move. I did that move where I did the thing where I went like, I had a few bites of the flap steak and I kept eating it. It was like 5 p.m. and then I was like, all right, I've had enough. I'll have a light dinner. So I ate like a little cottage cheese and fruit at like 8 o'clock and said, all right, that's sensible, light dinner. Then I started drinking red wine and about 11:30 made myself up a nice full dinner.
Nice. That's the way
at least half the time I announce no dinner, that means dinner at 2 a.m.
At the worst time
possible. At the worst time possible. After I'm drunk.
My friend Oswaldo, if you met my boss here, Adam Carolla, 18 years ago, that means unless you met him in Nicaragua, you've been in this country 18 years?
More, 21.
21.
I came for political asylum.
Yeah. Right, because you were tortured by the Sandinistas.
No, for the army, Somoza army.
Right, right. Mm. And I'm just wondering... The only person I know who's been in this country longer than you and has a thicker accent is Charo.
Mm.
Why don't you have a better grasp on the language after 21 years?
I don't have time for go to the school. I have a lot of responsibility, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I need to make money for feed my kid.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, way to make me feel like a dick.
I've got my back turned. I'm pretending I don't know you. By the way, happy anniversary.
Thank you so much.
Oh, yes.
Happy anniversary.
21 year married and 27 together.
Ozzy's wife is beautiful.
Yes, she is. She's slender and beautiful and wears a lot of perfume. All right, Ozzy.
Go ahead.
The movie.
Oh, the movie is very good.
No.
Oswaldo. Tell us about the movies. We want to know which movies you have seen.
I saw this weekend was the Simpsons movie.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
The Simpsons movie star the voices, the Dan Castañeda.
Who?
Dan Castañeda.
Mm, Castellaneta, yeah.
Is Homer Simpson.
Mm-hmm.
Julie Kavner is Marge.
All right, Kavner, sure.
Nazi cartoon... Cartwheels.
She's a Nazi?
Nazi cartwheel. Worst porn name ever. Hey, Jim, yeah, you'll be working with Nazi cartwheel. No, thank you.
Jenna Jameson and Nazi cartwheel will be coming to your house.
Yeah, you do a three-way with Jenna and Nazi.
This is all funny, but, you know, my great-grandfather was killed by a Nazi cartwheel. Continue.
It's a Bart Simpson.
Mm-hmm.
And Shirley Smith is Lisa Simpson.
Mm-hmm.
The Simpsons movie is a sequel version to the animation famous cartoon TV series.
Mm.
And the movie, Homer make a big mistake and try to fix things with the help to the song Bart.
Uh-oh, I got lost.
Wait a minute, Homer's doing what with the...
Hammer?
Homer.
With Nazi sex wheel?
No.
Homer's doing what?
Okay. In the movie, Homer make a big mistake and try to fix the with the help to the song Bart.
Trying to fix the mistake with help from his son, Bart.
Bart Simpson.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Homer and Bart. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
trying to end the catastrophe.
Mm-hmm.
Here is a clip emerge giving the inspirational talk to Lisa.
He's giving an inspirational talk to Lisa.
Yeah.
Okay. It's Marge doing
Marge,
it.
Yeah, Marge.
Okay.
But the very best thing is that he listens to you. Because nothing means more than for a man to... How did the pig tracks get on the ceiling?
Spider pig, does whatever a spider pig does. Can you swing from a web? No, we can't. He's a pig. Look out, he is a spider pig.
See? Homer's funny, no? It's almost like cheating.
Yeah, it really is. It really is.
Because if you were just reading that dialogue on the page, you'd be going, huh?
Yeah, is this for children? What is it?
That's not funny. And then he doesn't. It's funny. It's not fair. It's like you, Ozzy. This isn't funny.
Yeah, sir. It's pretty funny. I say.
See?
The Simpson movie left the reviewer cold.
And that was us.
Very nice.
We hope you.
Yeah, Ozzy, I understood two-thirds of that. I gotta say.
Actually, I didn't get to see the whole thing. They showed some clips. I was at Comic-Con this weekend.
Ah, yes.
Dude, that was bitchin'.
The Simpsons were there, right?
The Simpsons were there, and everybody and their brother was there. I was specifically there at the behest of NBC, which at first I thought, no, it's gonna be a drag. They're sponsored, they paid for it, and all that stuff. But I thought there's so much going on. But I actually only had the time. There's so much going on. Like one network, they had the guys from Heroes before they showed any parts of the new series coming. The whole cast, the creator, and Kevin Smith, your friend. He's coming on. I was all the way in the back. He was kind of hard to understand. Except he said, "I promise not to screw this one up." And I thought, "What the hell?" They were answering questions. And Mazi, who stars as one of the heroes in Heroes, was asked to speak Japanese right before I went up to ask my question. So I asked my question in Japanese.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was very cool.
Wow, impressive.
And the audience knew I was there because, like, they'd made a scene, they'd introduced me before they introduced anybody else, so they all applauded when I asked my question.
Comic-Con is turning into Tailhook at this point, is it not? Am I right to say that 6 years ago it was two nerds and a Silver Surfer comic book, and now it's spun into the biggest event in North America?
Dude, Silver Surfer was in the lobby of the Sheraton where I stayed in a full-blown silver, like, Mexican wrestler mask, but, like, eerier than that, though, because it just had these eye slits, and it was tailor-made, you could tell. And people were just allowed to walk around
How many people are showing up at
this place? I would say between the 2 days, if I have to guess comings and goings, not just a crowd and that's the only crowd, but leaving and being replaced, 50,000, maybe more.
Wow.
If the terrorists struck, God forbid, at Comic-Con, it would set this country back to the Stone Age, at least from a computer/industrial computer, whatever. I mean, we'd go back to the old beige cell phones, and it'd be 100 years before someone invented another iPod.
You'd kill some of the most creative minds in the world. There's a new show called Eureka coming out, and that's the name of a town, which is also, I tried to look really smart, I couldn't remember it. When whoever it is that discovered buoyancy discovered it, he yelled, "Eureka, I have found it."
Oh, is that what he yelled?
Yeah, that is exactly what he yelled, but I can't remember who he is. But anyway, so this town is named Eureka, and it's just a town of super geniuses that people don't, like, know are there, doing work you could never imagine, transporting it through time and stuff. But the sheriff and the other normal people, the postman and stuff, are like normal people who have to function with these wild geniuses, and the, like, you could just step through a time tunnel and be in, like, the 1920s or something, and you're the postman, and you just go, "Oh, damn, one of those scientists." And that's the way they play it. It's really funny, really interesting. And I'm going to go with, I have one of two favorites, the new Bionic Woman.
Ooh,
way darker.
Oh, you saw some of
it? I saw all of it. Yeah, no, they said, "Here you go, and if you don't want to hear this, put your fingers in your ears for a lot of shows."
Yeah, it was amazing. I want to borrow it.
No, I saw it there. I saw it there at Comic-Con. I sat there in
the new Bionic chick hot?
Yeah, she's this Australian chick. She was on a soap opera. Mm. Super hot, but doesn't have an Australian accent.
How was the accident? Skydiving, like the first one?
No. Oh. And I bragged about you rather incredibly on the $6 million man, and that was going to be my question. But then I had to ask Japanese. I don't know how to say rocket ship. Probably a rocket ship.
What was the accident?
It was an accident where, and people had asked that it wasn't that close at all.
This is how she went bionic.
That there was a bionic woman before
Australian
her.
Australian soap star Natalie Imbruglia.
Right.
That's a Bionic Woman?
No, but that's what the song is.
There was another Bionic Woman before her, and they didn't get it right, and she went bad.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And she's out to kill Jamie Summers and hits her car with a truck.
Ah.
Mm-hmm. But I think she's out to actually kill the scientist that's dating her.
Uh-huh.
So and the car... And the scientist that's dating her isn't that badly hurt like she is. They have to amputate both her arms and one of her legs and one of her eyes. And the colonel guy is going, hey, what, you can't do this to your girlfriend. Are you insane? This is military. So he fights his way out of it and he makes her bionic. And
you're saying car crash?
Yeah. Well, a huge semi-truck bashes into her.
But she's in the car.
Yeah, she's in the car.
Here's the thing. You don't want to get caught. As far as injuries go, here's what you look for. You don't want to get caught in that in-between gray zone where you don't get to go bionic. You either want didn't get a scratch
right.
or lost both arms, one leg, and an eyeball.
Yeah.
What you don't want is he lost his right arm, his eyes are fine, and his left leg's pretty well mangled. And someone goes, well, should we go? No, what? Just give him a plastic leg. They'll be fine.
See, the bad thing is they're not supposed to do it to anybody.
I want to go full bionic if I get into an accident.
That came up in my mind again because the first Bionic Woman is fighting with Jamie Summers, who's the hero. And again, it's darker. Her sister, she takes care of her little sister who's deaf. It's a darker show. She's fighting the original Bionic Woman. And just in the middle of the fight, the original Bionic Woman, who's like scary and eerie looking and gnarly, goes, you only have one bionic arm. Like, ha-ha, I'm going to kill you now.
Uh-huh.
Because she's fully geared up. She's like, more bionic, but she's like, stuff went wrong with her.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So she just went for evil instead of good.
Mm.
And there's a couple of sides of it. There's another one called Chuck. He's just this regular guy that somehow, because I walked in, it was hard to move in this place. There's really 50,000 people in giant theaters of 4,000 people to watch a TV show.
Yeah.
He's just this regular guy. He sells electronics. And he ends up somehow knowing all these government secrets. And he's almost the guy who's from, what are they called? Rent-A-Geek or something like that? He's not that far away from the Geek Squad.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, he's fighting off assassins and stuff.
We got Brian, by the way.
So all in all,
we lost our deposit. We lost our deposit on him, yeah.
And Journeyman and all these other shows that are coming up from NBC, I did not see a loser at all.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, they're really good.
It's smart to premiere it there.
Well, that's where they did it. Yeah, that's why they did it, for sure.
Well, I'm certainly into the Bionic Woman.
Let me say something.
Yes.
Yeah.
I make the review, you know, Donnie History is left this reviewer cold.
Danny's review left you cold. I understood more of Ozzy's, actually. Yeah. All right, we need to take a break. T.
Yes.
The news. What's coming up in it?
We're going to talk about that chopper crash, a dentist prank that went horribly awry, and what does Michael Vick have to lose?
Jesus, the mind reels at the dentist prank going awry.
Yes.
As far as it reels, this is even more bizarre.
Yeah. All right. Ozman?
Yeah, let me say something for the last Friday.
Yeah?
The car wash, you know, the charity, very good.
Oh, yeah? Oh.
Everybody like the barbecue. Everybody like, you know, contribute a lot of money.
Yeah, and your flap steak was a big hit.
Well, we should say thanks to everyone who went to the car wash, and thank you to Ozzy for cooking.
All right. Thanks. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with the news next.
News. Wanted by local police, the Big Banana Bandit.
That's a great moment in local news. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Big Banana Bandit is a drink you order, Mr. Fister.
That's what I figured. It's also a nickname.
Shows up in ceramic chaps. It's a, I can't quite describe it, but it's a good time. All right, T.
Yes.
The news.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
This is a really tragic story coming out of Phoenix, Arizona. On Friday, two news helicopters were covering a police chase when they crashed into each other, killing all four of the men inside. On Friday afternoon, the police in Phoenix were in a high-speed chase with a suspected carjacker, 23-year-old Christopher Jermaine Jones. All of the news stations had their helicopters up. Now, this guy's 23-year-old was caught. He's being held on $1 million bail, and there's some question whether he can or will be charged with murder.
I don't know how, you know, I don't know if this guy was a confused guy who's high or a career criminal. But I was thinking as I was hearing the story, walking, taking Molly for a walk, and Molly takes her poops on the road, but there's certain places I don't want her to take a poop, like on the nicely manicured lawn where the guy's standing in his driveway.
Right.
Molly doesn't give me much heads up on where she's pooping. All I know is all of a sudden I'm dragging a Buick with no wheels on it.
Right.
Is basically what it feels like. She stops. I have that thing where I have both heels dug in and I'm pulling the dog. I mean, you could hit a high C note on the leash if you plucked it like a violin string. Molly must be confused, because how often are you in a situation where you're trying to drop a deuce and someone's trying to pull your head off at the same time? Bonadu just happened a handful of times. But Molly's like, I can't take a Duke in peace, and why is it okay for me to take a Duke in another 30 feet in these leaves where the ivy's overgrown the front of the house? I wish I could get there. Maybe I'll get Caesar the dog whisperer
to
explain her why I don't like her to Duke while prying eyes are
Daddy
there.
Daddy doesn't have to pick it up if it goes in the ivy.
I was listening to this story while I was dragging Molly around, dragging her ass around. It's really just an ass with a leash on it. And I thought, if the guy who led the police in the chase is right. just your basic drug addict who was out of his mind, he's going to have to live with the fact that his actions caused four deaths for the rest of his life.
Yes, that would be horrible. It's also very unpleasant to have been another pilot in the air also covering this
same
chase.
I don't want to hear it. It's too depressing. It's going to make me cry.
We heard it before, but you don't want to hear it?
No.
Okay, fair enough. Moving on.
Yeah.
Sure.
It's sad.
All right. It's very sad. Okay. Well.
Sorry, baby. No,
that's okay. Listen, just trying to do my job.
I understand.
How about...
I want to hear the dentist story.
The dentist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here is a story about a dentist who got sued.
Mm-hmm.
And now, here's how it went. Dr. Robert Wu of Auburn, Washington, which is south of Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
He's a dentist, and for 5 years back in the 90s, he had an assistant named Tina Alberts. Tina, his assistant, was always going on about how she raised pot-bellied pigs at home.
Mm-hmm.
In 1999, Robert was performing oral surgery on Tina.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'd think, well, I need some oral surgery. I work for a dentist. I'll get it done here for free.
Mm-hmm.
She was knocked out. Mm-hmm. And he implanted fake boar tusks in her mouth, just like the ones on some of the pot-bellied pigs she had and so frequently discussed. So he and three other staff members took some photos, mm-hmm. and then he removed the tusks and finished doing the surgery properly. She had no idea what had happened until later that year at her birthday party, when the other workers at the office surprised her with the photos of her knocked out with the pig tusks implanted in her mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she didn't find it funny.
Really?
She never went back to work. She sued Robert the dentist.
She's just looking for a payday.
Yeah, ah,
let me just say this.
Okay.
I have done things to people when they've been passed out. It's normally basically has to do with Sharpies and a couple of pictures with a couple of cigarette butts in the guy's nose. We duct tape a guy to a chair when he passed out at a party, that kind of stuff.
Sure.
If somebody said to me, hey, remember we hit you with the nitrous and you passed out the other day? Well, we did a few things while you're under and we have some pictures. I'd be, oh, dear God, no. If you showed me the pictures of them smiling with the fake tusk on my teeth, it'd be the greatest day of my life. Yeah. I'd be like,
you didn't teabag me?
Yes.
God, I love you.
Yes.
You didn't take me to Mr. Fister and let them have their way with me?
Let the banana bandit get me?
Well, this story has a twist. Okay, so this woman sues. Mm-hmm. And he decides to do what a lot of people do in this kind of situation. He settled out of court.
Right.
He paid her $250,000 out of pocket. Mm. Well, of course, then he went to his own insurance company, Fireman's Fund.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, hey, look, I had to pay out this lady. This prank went wrong. And they said, too bad. That prank had nothing to do with the practice of dentistry. You are responsible. So he sued Fireman's Fund. He sued his insurance company. Last week, the state Supreme Court heard the case. He won. The court agreed that Fireman's Fund did have to defend him because the prank occurred during a surgery, so it was on the job. A jury awarded him $750,000 plus the $250,000 he'd already paid out.
Nice!
As an important lesson for any young dentists that are listening, Because this
make tusks.
This dude's he's 500 in the black, right?
Yeah.
No.
Sweet.
No, 750.
750 in the black.
They paid him the 250 back plus 750.
Oh, plus the 750.
Yeah, he's 750 in the black. And then
quickly
in closing, not surprisingly, Nike has decided to suspend Michael Vick without pay as their company spokesman until this whole dogfighting mess is sorted out in court. Mm-hmm. They released a statement saying, quote, Nike is concerned by the serious and highly disturbing allegations made against Michael Vick, and we consider any cruelty to animals inhuman and abhorrent.
Mm.
By the way, if you went on NFL.com and you tried to buy a Michael Vick jersey, you would not be able to.
It'd be cool if Mike Vick went to this dentist.
And just got his natural look that God forgot to give him the tusks.
Yeah.
Right, if he had, you know, canine incisors put in.
And, dentist was a big PETA fan.
Yeah.
Well, the imagination will run
wild.
I forget
who I've already insulted this morning, but I'm just thinking that if anybody had any real huevos at all, they'd make a dog skin shoe and have it endorsed by Michael Vick.
Mm. From your mouth to God's ears, Bonaducci.
Well, they die naturally. You don't have to have kill them in a dog fight to put them to sleep. Dogs die.
Separating myself from Bonaducci, I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
Tomorrow's news. Today, Teresa Strasser. You, CNN.
All right, we're going to take a break. Prisoner David, a real-life prisoner. Well, when I say real life, I mean, that's his sentence.
He's incarcerated.
He's incarcerated, but it hasn't gotten the better of him.
No, he's very jovial. He's
very cheerful for a con.
He is incarcerated for life, and I would argue in a better mood than I am 23 out of the 24 hours of the day.
This recorded call is from an inmate at a California correctional facility.
We'll hear from him next.
Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. It's time to check in with David, who's doing 25 to life in a California state penitentiary for conspiracy to commit murder.
This recorded call is from an inmate at a California correctional facility.
Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Prisoner David. What's happening, my brother? What'd you have for breakfast this morning?
Oh, God. It's a nasty SOS.
Hmm. What's... Oh, S on a shingle?
Ah.
There you go.
Horrible.
Good times. what do you got on tap for today?
Well, Adam, I haven't called in for a few weeks. We've been on lockdown for a while.
Again?
Yeah.
Was there a fight?
No, it was kind of worse. There's a lot of inmates were involved in little mechas, you know? It's horrible.
Mm. A little what?
Like a melee, you know? I mean, there's a lot of people involved.
Like a melee.
Yeah, melee. That's
right.
A ruckus.
A ruckus.
There you go.
So there was a fight.
Yeah.
Now, have you ever done this? Because, you know, if I was in prison, I would do this. I would take my shirt, I would tie it up in a knot around my chest, and I would say, look, fellas, hooligans, you guys that start your melees and your ruckus eyes, when you guys fight, it hurts all of us, okay? Because there's people that aren't responsible that still have to be in lockdown because you guys can't settle your differences.
From an
I love this part. Don't you think you should give him that speech, Prisoner David, and see if it works?
How about that? And you can all thank David for this.
Yeah, there's a good idea. Shame one of the bigger guys.
Shame one of the big guys.
Well, also, if you get something sent to you like a treat, you can say, do you have enough cookies for all the prisoners?
Exactly. Yes, yeah, sure. Mr. Nazi lowrider.
If I stick up like that, though, I might get a shiv. You know, I got to be careful what I
say. Well, then you have another conversation.
Right, totally.
Somebody seems to have lost their shiv in my liver.
Exactly.
Hmm.
A shiv is in the liver. Isn't that cute?
Adam, you know, what's really interesting, though, is some of the guys who walk around here, they're always happy, and especially the Christian guys. You know, this amazes me.
Really?
I mean, they're praising the Lord. I mean, right now, they're out there praising the Lord. Got guitars and everything. That's amazing.
That's nice.
You got guitars?
Yeah, guitars. Everybody's praising the Lord. In fact, I have somebody here for you today.
All right.
Brother Daniel. Yeah, he's an inmate pastor, and he actually talks and he preaches about the Lord, basically.
Let me say this very quickly, Prisoner David, because I know you don't have a lot to be thankful for, but we're all out here worried about having whatever we have taken away from us.
Yes.
You don't have to worry about that.
Not really.
I know it sounds horrible and relative, but Al-Qaeda is not going to strike the prison.
That's absolutely true.
He's going to hit our building.
Right.
He will never hit where you work. So when you turn on CNN and you watch the TV in the rec room and they say Al-Qaeda's gearing up for an attack this summer, you can think, knock yourselves out.
That's true.
Yeah, you're safe. Good thing
you're safe. Enjoy.
In fact, they'll probably come once they've distracted them law enough and set you all free, like Castro did.
That's right.
And set you all free to run ruckus in the United States.
We'll see you on the outside soon. Put Brother Dan on, if you would.
Okay, here's Brother Daniel.
Hi. Brother Daniel?
Yes, good morning.
What's up? Now, you're born again Christian?
Yes, I am.
And did you find Jesus in the joint?
Yes, I found the Lord Jesus Christ when I first began my time here, yes.
How long ago did you start your time?
12 years ago.
Mm. And what are you in for?
I'm a three-striker. Mm-hmm. Under the three strikes law.
Okay, now, there are some people serving life for a joint.
No, no,
under the three
you misunderstood. He struck a guy three times with a baseball bat.
And killed him? Is that what happened?
Well, I don't know if about... There are people that have done things like that.
What was your third strike?
My third strike was stealing a video videotape from the store.
Oh, was it a blank video or a movie?
No, that was a video with a movie on it.
What movie?
It was a movie called Eye for an Eye.
And that's kind of what you got.
Yeah, kind of is.
Ironic, yeah.
Ironic.
How ironic.
So you stole, what is it?
Is it an ironic as a CD?
Is it $8 worth of movie from a store and you've been in for 12 years?
Yes, they gave me 27 years to life.
No.
For the third strike, for stealing. Yes. Didn't I read about you 12 years ago? Didn't they?
Recorded call from an inmate at a California correctional facility.
Newspaper that they had... giving me 27 years to life.
I remember reading that there was a guy in jail doing, I just remember just doing life for stealing a video.
Is this the Sally Field Ed Harris Eye for an Eye?
Is this what now?
Sally Field.
She was in a movie called Eye for an Eye in 96.
No, look, man, this is Jean-Claude Van Damme.
It was in 96, yes.
Thank you. Now I can sleep tonight.
Well, look, they always talk about our system and how it ain't broke and how it's the best in the world and all that kind of stuff. But the reality is if you, Brother Dan, had a couple of nickels to rub together to hire the dream team or at least competent representation, you wouldn't be doing this. You would not be doing this 12 years with that.
Well, probably not. Yes.
You think that's true?
I know there's three strikes, but think about what OJ was able to do, really.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Got away with murder aside from the lawsuit of $35 million. But and maybe you can tell me better. But at the three strikes law, the judge has no leeway. He has to give you that sentence, right?
Well, that's what the judge told me at the time, that his hands were actually tied regarding that, and he could not alter the sentence he was going to give me. But if he could, he said he would, but he was not able to.
That's why I don't like the three strike law.
And it
seems
sad.
Like it's a good idea.
Well, since that law was voted in by the people, the only way it can get changed is by the people again.
All right, well, Brother Dan.
Yes.
I'm sorry about your plight.
Yeah, well, it worked out for the good. You
right,
know?
Because you found Jesus Christ.
Now my life has been changed, and I have more understanding, grown in wisdom since that time to where I'm actually out here being able to help other people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior.
Well, pardon the pun, but God bless you. I feel bad, though. The guy left behind, I'm sure, a family, probably a thriving business as a moil. I'm guessing, just guessing from the sound of his voice.
One of them was violent. I think that's the way it works.
It usually works that way. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. We'll be back. Well, there you go. Another show safely behind us. I'd like to thank myself, Teresa, Danny, and Bald Brian.
Thanks.
God bless
you.
So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying... Mahalo. Somebody seems to have lost their shiv in my liver.